Okay, Beyonders, welcome back to Tabletop and Beyond. This is Winning Warcry, your monthly guide to doing better in Warcry sometimes. So, we have four awesome guests with us today. Unfortunately, SaltyC couldn't be with us tonight. My schedule was a little tight this month, and so things just weren't working out. He'll be back with us next month. But we've got four amazing guests, as I said. Rob, you are a veteran of the show, having done one. So welcome back. Peter, you're our sort of rookie. You have been mentioned many times on the show, but this is your first face appearance. And yes, people, Peter does exist in real life. There's his mug right there. And we have Kyle, the great white nope, who I hear spends his days with children.
Huh.
No? Nope. Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation.
Okay, so here I am from the future of this recording, and if you are super confused by this intro, as everybody else on here was, especially Kyle, then you are not alone. So I made a huge mistake.
I've made a huge mistake.
I got Kyle confused with someone else in the Warcry community who is a teacher and literally spends their days teaching kids. So, of course, when I end up giving this wild intro for Kyle, he is super confused. Then the other three are super confused. And then we all start laughing about it. But you can see on my face in that moment that I realized I totally boinked it. Inadvertently, I actually reinforced another joke about Kyle, which is that the community totally confuses him all the time with other people. And, of course, I'm the absolute culprit here because I did it again, and it came off super awkward. So while this moment of confusion was actually kind of funny part of the show, and we all started laughing about it, I hope you all end up laughing at what this is really about. And what is really funny about this is me being an absolute idiot and totally messing up Kyle's intro. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the rest of the show, and I wanted to clarify any confusion about what this was about, because it's really about me being a complete Nimrod. So, enjoy, everybody.
What? Also calling these three guys children. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Is there anything to elaborate with that?
That's just... that was a weird roll, okay.
Alright, and then we have Mike, who was also on the show with us another time, moving right along.
Dude, you go from not being a TO to...
I have any kids in my neck of the woods, so...
What children? Whose children? I have children. Yeah. Like...
All right, so, we got Mike, who was on the show for... Yeah. We're moving on. So, these fine gentlemen are part of their own podcast, their own YouTube channel. Do you guys do podcasts, or is it straight YouTube?
It's YouTube. The same thing. Basically,
I mean, kind of
YouTube. Right now, it's straight YouTube, but we have a podcast style format. Yeah.
Hey, look at this! Look what I got here: three heroes, one chaff. I'm not gonna make you guys decide who the one chaff is.
It's impossible to tell.
You'll never know.
Does it involve kids though? So.
No. You were worried about us. Like,
gosh, what the hell?
You guys did not expect me coming firing out of the gate, did you?
From the hip. That was hard.
Yeah. All right. So you've got four segments here already. 114 subscribers, which is awesome. And you just put out a video today, which is Quest for Soulsworn, the basics, which is great because I've been working on my Quest for Soulsworn. But you've got a lot of good stuff on there. So I highly recommend, if you like shenanigans and debauchery, go check out their and Warcry, of course. If you like all three of those things.
And apparently kids. Kyle's in kids. All the videos.
Kyle loves kids. It's great. He's got his own ice cream truck. Jesus Christ, Kyle.
like, what did I do?
There's something to say. It's like, I'm the only one here, like, without kids. Lives by myself. Spends all my money on Warhammer. You're like, oh, you like kids? I'm like, fucking hate kids. I'm
sorry. Oh. That's amazing. All right. Well, guys, we have an amazing show for you today. We're going to be talking about some Adepticon stuff coming up. It's a week away from this recording. We're going to be talking about Order of Azir, specifically Kallus and Tol, which looks pretty awesome. And then we're going to be talking about how missions in Warcry have evolved over time, and is this for the better? And what does it portend for the future of Warcry? So let's get at it, boys. How is your hobby table going? We're going to start with Peter. You're my number one, Peter. How's your hobby table going?
Let it be known, Justin thinks I'm number one. I actually just finished my display table yesterday for Adepticon, so that's one thing completed. I still have to finish some models, so for the narrative and the competitive, so I got to finish that up this week because we're leaving early next week because my wife's got family just outside of Chicago, so we're getting some family time before we go to the tournament. But yeah, just get prepping for next week. That's where we're at.
Adepticon starts, I mean, in theory, it starts Wednesday night, right? It's like when all the check-in stuff is and all that. And
reveal,
I think
too.
The reveals, like, yep. Yeah, 100%. That's all Wednesday night. And then Thursday, I think, is the... you know what? Forget it. I'm going to talk about that as we get to Adepticon because I'm jumping ahead here. So what models specifically are you working on, Peter?
Oh, surprisingly, it's Gitz. Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Shocked.
I know. But
how
many
more Gitz do you have to paint? Like, well, I've seen you play with pretty much all of them.
Peter's not going to rest until every Gitz on the planet is painted. He will paint your Gitz. He'll borrow them. Send them back painted.
I've got some literally right there, Peter. Can't wait.
Let me have them.
He's going to come in my fireplace like Santa Claus and paint him in the middle of the night.
You know, there's Gitz models. Down like Gollum. Santa, you know, there's Santa models that are also Gitz, so that fits.
All right. Well, all right. Well, I'm going to ask you more about what your lists are when we get to the Adepticon portion of it. But, hey, paint like your life depends on it because that's how it's going to feel over the next few days.
Yeah. It does depend on it, Peter. There's a guy that's a sniper outside, and if Peter puts it on.
Right. If you don't, Kyle will grab your kid, so you better paint. Like, it depends on it, dude.
I mean, I was going to go directly and threaten his Lord of the Rings collection. Just burn it. It's not ready in time.
Actually, so. You know what? That's probably the number one way to Peter's heart.
It is. So.
I got so many Easterlings to paint right now. It's not even funny.
Easterlings? You said?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right. All right, Kyle, what do you got on your table?
I mean, I'd have a lot more if it wasn't for these darn kids. So,
all day, spend the day with kids.
Last weekend, I kind of just finished my Gold Demon entry. As good as it's going to get. I'm very excited for it. So that's done. But on my table right now, I'm working on some Flesh Eater courts, working on these Crypt Guard, trying to get them up and ready for a smaller tournament we're doing in April. So
that's cool.
That's about it.
What did you paint for your Golden Demon?
So I'm not going to show it right now. I'm going to wait till then because then I can post it on my Instagram, the reveal. But essentially the premise is I really love Joseph Bugman. I've collected his models over the years. So I've got four Joseph Bugmans all inside of like a brewery, beer flowing everywhere. And it's just him fighting with himself. So just Bugman all day. It's great.
It's awesome. We've seen some sneak peeks of it and it's absolutely fantastic.
It really
is.
That
sounds amazing. That sounds amazing, especially since like they've had so many Bugman models come out, right? Like that are like all about him drinking.
Yeah, so many. I mean, they have one with him on a pony, dragon beer across. The four I'm running here is one where he's smoking a pipe on some barrels, one where he's throwing a chair at somebody else, one where he's got like the big banner on his back, but I have him laying on the ground just pretty much doing a keg stand off of some kegs. And the last one's just standing cheering on top of some barrels with a chair flying at his face. So it's a fun time.
That's awesome. Now, are there so the Capital palette here has different like levels like journeyman, master, professional, you know, like that type of thing. Are there different tiers in the Golden Demon that you're entering in? Or is it
together? It's just different categories, right? I mean, I guess the only tier is like they do have a young blood section, like it goes up to 15, which
those are nuts too. They are better than anything.
They're incredible, right?
It's nuts.
They actually just have different categories. So you do like single model, you can do large scale model, you can do like a kill team. You got fantasy. Mm-hmm. The one I'll be entering into is the diorama, which is just like a little scene, which is really what I wanted to do. It was either that or duel, but I really wanted to paint more than two guys. So
listen, with how popular Bugman is actually, and how much GW loves them, even if you don't win, I bet you money that you're going to probably get like a hey, check this out, guys. This is amazing. You know,
What I'm hoping for is someone looks at it and they just kind of like giggle a little bit, have a little smile on their face. To me, that's the winning part, right?
Is and then to pay you less. Hundreds and thousands of dollars for,
Exactly.
It's the ideal, right? That's all.
And then get hired by GW and not get your name released on any credit for artistry. As well.
or your face on camera ever again.
Master plan.
This would be all the Kyle bit of like, what, Kyle Tito'd? No, it's like, whoa, this amazing golden demon. We have no idea who did this.
Painted this.
Who showed up one day?
For those watching who don't know the inside joke, for whatever reason, I've hosted two events, and like both events, no one knew I was the TO. Even though I had like a striped shirt that said like TO on the back, they're like, yeah, thanks, Rob, for hosting this event. I'm just like sitting there. I painted all six sets of terrain. I'm like, I guess I'm not important here.
Well, even in the chat, right? Didn't I think it was like Uncle Death or something like that was the TO?
So, Uncle Death got, it was Gray. Gray got credit for TOing. And
thanks, Gray. Shout out Gray for doing such a great job running that tournament.
Well, the best part is Gray got a ride to the tournament because I picked him up and brought him to the tournament, which is like even the best part about it. Like the TO brought him to the tournament. They're like, thanks, Gray.
Like, couldn't happen without you, Kyle. If you weren't there, the TO wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so.
You know, and besides, you know, hosting that event, you know, you did it for the kids, and we really appreciate it, you know?
Oh, my Lord.
All right, Mike, what do you got on your hobby table?
Ooh-wee. I'm a little ahead of schedule this year. So last year for Adepticon, I had six models.
Everybody out, right?
I had six models, and I stayed up all night the night before and painted them, played in the whole tournament without any sleep. This year, like I said, I'm ahead of schedule. I'm playing 10 models in the competitive and 13 in the narrative, and I'm almost done building them. It's about a week away.
Definitely ahead of schedule, boys.
Yeah, I'm looking good. I didn't start painting till the day before last time. I got plenty of time before I'm past that threshold. So I think I'm in great shape. It's been real fun. I'm really excited. I got some really, really fun conversions this year again. Last year I did the Monstars from Space Jam, and I kind of jumped off of that. So I'm not gonna spoil too much tonight because I love it when people see them for the first time in person. I just feel like it's a different experience. But I think it's gonna be fire. It's some of my favorite conversion ideas that I've had. So I'm really excited for people to get to see them.
Even better than the WWE.
I think it might be.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Wow. It's awesome.
Very cool.
At least on par. At least at that level. I think I showed you guys the picture of me dressed up as Stone Cold. With a kid, Kyle, you would have enjoyed that. when I was holding Eric's son over my head because he came with us to the tournament. But I'll also have a costume for both the narrative and competitive this time. So, yeah, you'll know who I am when you see me. Besides the man bun, I'll look like an idiot like normal.
I mean, last time you were in a romper,
I just had the button down for Adepticon. I had the monster.
You were wearing a romper. It was like the shorts and
That was a two piece. Yeah, you're probably thinking because of the muscles that I had. I didn't have a shirt and I was yoked, dude. I was piped up. Yeah, dude.
I was pretty. I thought it was a onesie.
This is your dreams coming through again, Justin. It's hard to tell sometimes.
From what I heard, he's actually just going to do just body paint. That's it.
Yes.
Just straight up spray on paint.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, Rob, you are up. I'm going to pull up your pictures here.
What? I've got pictures.
Yeah, actually,
you guys could have sent me pictures. You could have.
Way to underplay us, Rob.
What do you mean we're going to play? Maybe
we're supposed to be a team, Rob.
Hold on. Can't bring Rob anything. I'm really upset that I didn't know we can get matching team rompers, and that's where my mind is at right now. I want team rompers.
I think you're probably accurate on that one. I mean, I'm telling you, you wore a romper last year. You wore a romper.
You may have been thinking of someone completely different.
No, it was like it had pineapples and, I mean, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, no, that was, you're thinking of Will. That was Will from the Mortal Realms. I'm pretty, like, 90% sure he was wearing that.
Oh, was it him?
Okay. I'll double check. Maybe it was.
I'm going to have to inquire about some pineapple.
You were wearing like a Hawaiian-themed shirt, though, right?
Yeah, they had the Monstars on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So not Hawaiian. Okay. Got it. Right.
But it was like a Hawaiian shirt, but just minus. Okay, but there was a dude with a romper. That's for sure.
This is a very telling T&B episode with rompers and children. I don't know.
Come to Adepticon this year and you might see someone wearing a romper.
I'm so glad this is my first episode.
That was their tagline.
This is.
Hey, Rob, what's your name?
Don't lie, Rob. You're looking up rompers right now on Amazon.
Hell yeah, bro, dude. Get some adult rompies in? That'd be a dream.
Rob's got it on alert anytime it drops below.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
It's a dream until you have to go to the bathroom. Then it's
you got the butt flaps.
What's
the butt flap?
A lot of those rompers
might be more comfortable. You know,
listen, we could have a whole episode about romper bathroom etiquette, but we're here about my hobby table because this is the first time in any show I've been on. Everybody talks hobbies, and I just sit there looking at the screen like an idiot because I'm just like because all I do is play TTS mainly, and this is the first time like I spent a lot of time on these guys. My mediocre paint jobs of Cities of Sigmar and. It was an effort, dude. I don't recommend anybody buy these. It was a nightmare. They're awesome looking models though, but the dude on the right.
It's the opposite of a GW sponsorship. Hey, don't buy any of their stuff.
Yeah. Buy their stuff, but not these stuff. Buy the White Dwarf subscription first, because that's what matters the most.
Buy these and then have somebody commission paint them for you.
Right. Not me. And then it's the dude on the right is a proxy I have for the Vulcan Flame Father, but he might find his way in there. I'm pretty undecided on a list, but we'll get to that later. But this is some city stuff. I have some other pictures I sent you though.
Yeah, let me pull them up. I thought I could click through, but I cannot.
I like the floodlight you use to really capture all of
that. Yeah, exactly.
I figured the stain on the shirt would just really add it to the model. So.
Dude, I looked hard for his stains at like the first part. that was not a floodlight. That was my daughter's lamp that I stole from her room.
You know, when you put it that close, it becomes a floodlight.
Oh, my bad. You know what?
I mean, Rob, that's a true hobby experience, though, right? Like stealing a child's lamp to.
If you're not hobbying unless you're bullying children. 100%. I learned it from Kyle. Kyle taught me how to deal with this situation.
No, I taught you how to drink a Monster and punch holes in drywall. Okay.
That's it too. Yeah. Pull out my switchblade and yell about my dad. That's the key target demographic I'm really shooting for with these.
I love that Arch Knight.
Thank you. The, the Arch Knight on the bottom and then the, Domitian. It was all just part of it. Like I'll do like a week or two to get a warband out and then like that's it. This one took me like 2 months for all the pieces that like I have. I sent you over in the pictures. Yeah. I have no idea which combination of things I'm going to run.
Yeah. So we got these ones and then we got here.
It's such a fun way to like have models available, but like if you feel like pivoting and stuff like that, like I have this warband and I can build, and I've got the component pieces so I can play whatever I want.
Yeah. These guys. Totally. I thought would be really fun and easy and fast to paint, and they were neither of those things. really sad.
So we talked about on the show that when GW gets the sculpts right, actually, they're deceptively complicated. Okay, for sure. What that means is like the orcs from the kill team,
commandos,
sneaky boys or commandos.
Yeah,
those guys were amazing to paint because they're actually, it looks like they have a lot of details, but they actually really didn't.
Right,
you know, and so I got them done way faster than I thought I was going to. But then you get guys like this, and you're like, okay, there's buckles everywhere. There's, like, straps everywhere. There's, you know, straps to straps. There's undergarments. There's overgarments. There's,
you know. Rompers. I mean, you got to paint the romper on.
Got the rompers on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how do you get that pineapple on there? I mean, it takes forever. It takes forever, you know.
I still have to do their decals too. The whole thing was like for the warband to pick a different like alternate scheme of color and have them be like GER special forces almost. So each one of them is going to have like a different city from cities of Sigmar. So like I still have to do that and then eventually we'll just figure out what we want to do.
You got to paint a 3H1C on one of the shields though. At least one.
And then there's this one. This is kind of like the back three. Dude, I love the Whisper Blade back there.
Yeah, dude, the Whisper Blade was actually a fun model to paint. It wasn't terrible, even with the trim it was. But
he's super sneaky, especially if you're staring directly at the sun. You'll never see him coming with those bright colors.
No, never. Never. Never.
I hide in daylight.
Yeah. Right.
They'll never see me in the sunflower field.
As long as you're looking directly at a prism and it's, you know, spreading the light, you'll never know that he's there.
No, never. He's blinding. Right.
Dude, I love the flag. You did look so good, though. I love that green and yellow scheme that you picked. It's really nice.
My favorite is the conversion he did with from the Curse City model he took to be his pistolier captain there.
That model's sweet as heck, dude. The Curse City models are amazing. By all means, buy those.
I love that model, except for the one fop of hair. Like, it's just the part that like throws me off. It's like, why?
But just shave it, dude. Just shave it. Okay?
I debated cutting it off, but I was like, whatever. I'll just keep it on for
Rocket.
He's like Fredo in The Godfather 2. Like, dude, just stop with the comb over and
just shave it. Right, and we had to do a little conversion for the face on the flag guy. We discussed this, I think, last time was on. That face looks horrific.
Oh,
if you've ever seen it,
chunky boy.
Shoulder pad from a Stormcast, and I'm like, this guy's getting lion face, and it's going on there. Don't even care how bad it looks. If it looks bad, it is going on. It's the helmet. Dude, it's like he's like face is sucked in. It looks like you just saw someone's leg blow off in front of him. It's horrible.
He just watched his leader get mauled by
right,
dude. And he's a bannerman, like, right? He's supposed to inspire courage, and he's got a face of
it's by far terror. The best piece in the warband too. It is such a ridiculous piece, and it's like it's one of the worst looking sculpted faces in the world. It's
the rest of the model is great. It's just
the rest of the model is awesome. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's Rob's pro tip. If you don't like painting faces, just throw a mask on it, right?
Slap it on.
I'm waiting for a warband to come out where someone just puts like little like paper bags over everyone's head just so they don't have to paint faces.
It's how Rob met his wife.
That's for sure. That's correct.
Just kidding, Karen.
To be clear, Rob had a bag.
The old paper bag. Fair enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Fair enough. Awesome. Well, I am... just about done with my Cult of Soulsworn, so I need to listen to your guys' little episode right there and figure out how to play these guys, because I know we reviewed them back, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes ago, but I'm doing it because like, I think they can be good allies in different places. So
they are, for
sure. You know.
They for sure. Yeah. You know what? It's a good episode to watch if you want to get some basics blasted right in your mouth. There's a lot of good information there with some good examples that Kyle all drew up and dug up. Mm-hmm. And it's worthwhile.
I'd also have to say, if you haven't checked out, if you ever want to play them narrative wise, check out the White Dwarf narrative missions they get and the like actual artifacts they get. Mm-hmm. Really, really cool narrative standpoint. Like really powerful artifacts, like really fun quests, like really kind of takes that team to the next level of like, I want to play these guys in GER. Like I might actually bring them for the narrative in Adepticon if I don't play my Royal Beast Flayers.
It'll be different for the narrative event. They'll have unique items that you get there, so you won't play through like those rules and stuff like that. But Eric from Dogs of Warcry played them locally and had a lot of fun. Other than they do have like one part where it's like you have to quest if you ever have one actually like die in narrative because they're technically heroes and allies. So like you're like, I got to go in a hole. So you end up playing down like 180 points a lot of the time, which is brutal, but we just decided you don't do that anymore. But they're super, super fun stuff. And actually, if you blow bought, what was it? What box were they in? What was it called?
Nightmare Quest.
Yeah, all the quests are in that book too. The book that came with that one, Predator and Prey.
Yeah. I think.
No, that was the one before. Anyway, it's in that book.
Nice, perfect. got that right up there. So
yeah,
that'll be good.
As you pointed to this like just cataclysmic sky, you're like, "Yep, it's just in that cloud.
It's right just right in there. Just gotta reach right in there and grab it. Let's see.
Just Sigmar lightning bolt the book into your hand."
Dang it. Now, of course, nothing is disappearing. But, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, no, I'm excited about it. As soon as I get done with that, which should be this week, actually, then I'm going to go right into the Black Talons. I decided that 2024 is my Stormcast year because I've got Black Talons. I've got to finish my Dominion half. Like, they're, like, halfway painted. You know?
Better hurry up. You better get that done.
I know. I've got the Vanguard to paint up. Okay, I've got some warrior models to paint up, and I've got the Sacrosanct Chamber from like an old box of.
It's really good that you're doing all these models when they're releasing the new wave coming out.
Yeah, just wrap those up by July. Otherwise, the list is getting longer.
Listen, I understand. Like, everything you guys are saying is true, and that's the problem is I'm looking at these things, and they've been staring at me for like 4 years now. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been through COVID with me. You know,
I feel like we could do like they're gonna do Toy Story 5 about all the leftover boxes of Dominion on shelves. You're like, please, somebody take us home.
Dude.
They're stuck on the sprues. They're just like one day we'll be released.
You go into the hobby stores too, and you're like, dude, this box isn't selling, and they're like, it's fine. It's still $250.
Yeah,
you're
kept it at MSRP just in case somebody doesn't know what's happening.
We knew somebody would come in here and look at it one day.
Fine. Because the thing is AOS 4 is coming out here in like, 6 months or whatever, and they're going to have a whole new line of Stormcast models. They're just going to basically be like the new Terminator Space Marines, but for Stormcast,
I hope they just re-release that same box again and then just take like the orcs and just like replace them with like Skaven heads and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like it's exactly the same box.
A minimal effort.
I think they should hold them hostage, right? Like say like, look, we're not releasing 4.0 models until you guys finish up buying all the Dominion boxes.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Once we get them done, you guys can have the new Hondas.
That's awesome.
Rumor has it it's Liberators are going to be Thunder Strike-ized. Like, they're going to basically update Liberators to match the new Thunder Strike.
It's the Warrior Chamber, I thought, right?
They're the Warrior Chamber, right? Mm-hmm. And they were the first ones with the Fisher Price, my first knee pads, and the
like
giant...
you just started rollerblading.
Right, and they got the elbow pads on. They're like enormous.
The chunky boys.
In fact, I think their poses are like they're rollerblading. You know, like half of them are like.
Get rid of the. You just gave me a conversion idea for next year.
Rollerblading Libbies.
Roller derby cast.
All I'm saying is the Skaven line needs like 300 new models, and they just don't update any of the old ones.
Oh my god.
Adding on.
Yep,
right.
Yep.
Like, oh my god.
They updated. Yeah,
like, we have a 1980 Night Runner.
One hero's updated. It's like one hero, and you can only buy it in that box.
Right.
It's what they did for the old world. They just said, hey, do you guys like skeletons that are 30-year-old sculpts? They're $80 now.
Hey, you can find them, but they're still just as expensive.
And the best part is they're like, all you losers sold them like 5 or 8 years ago, and now you got to buy them back again.
Yeah, you morons. Yeah. All
that one guy that set his Tomb King's army on fire when like AOS first came out, you know? That could have been a lot of money right there.
Technically, they're still legal models, so he could still play them.
They're just, sprugu. They're
sprugu. That guy, GW, is watching them set it on fire, and they're like, yes, good.
Oh, in 17 years, you're going to feel like an idiot.
Yeah. The wave of regret and FOMO will hit you at once.
Awesome. All right, well, let's talk about news. We don't have a ton of news except Adepticon's happening starting in a week, like we said. I'm excited for the reveals coming out, which any speculation on the reviews or reveals for Warcry?
I'm going to take it because I hope it's death. I hope it is an OBR warband set in Gur because I saw the cat. It is awesome. Yeah. I love death. So if they do an OBR warband, I'm 100% down for it. That being said, too, like, there's, like, rumors going around and speculation they might go up against Sylvaneth trees, which I am all for bone construct versus tree construct. That would be it's an just, awesome box.
You're just awesome putting box. The sprues of Ger trees in.
So
again,
you're telling me that we get a box of boners and woodies?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, got it.
You said it. Like Kyle, keep him.
We were the behaved ones. I just want to round that up. You were so worried about us.
Where am I?
I no. There's,
incoming gracious.
I heard a similar thing from about that Kyle. There was like a battle report or something like that. There was some tea leaf reading that people were like, you know, like it's gonna be, you know, but it had some credence to it that it was looking like they did a yeah, I can't remember what it was, but something about OBR and Sylvaneth. So OBR seems pretty likely. That model that they teased was almost assuredly a Warcry model, right? It didn't seem like it had a sculpted base, which is usually an Underworlds model, unless they're doing a full. I mean, that'd be kind of sick if they did a whole like a whole unit for OBR with all those like bone cats. But we're claiming it. It's ours. We're taking it. I wonder if they're gonna do, because this is the, I guess. We don't know if they're going to be the double box or if they're just going to be single releases, but I'm curious to see what they do for terrain with those two things potentially.
I can't imagine they're going to do much more terrain, though. People are kind of burnt a little
Just,
on the,
they've been doing that single
box. It's like the single box, like the frog head statue.
Mm-hmm. The frog head statue is sick. I like
it. It's kind of allegedly.
Nobody has one. Right. It hasn't come out from 3.5 months
ago. Yeah. Right.
I was just going to mention that. Like, we're talking about reveals that we think may be coming out here. And, I mean, they've said Warcry is on the list of things to reveal, right? And so.
Right.
So,
I think they're going to re-reveal it. I think we're going to get fire and flood. I think they're just going to go, you probably forgot about this, didn't you?
We're here to reveal the release date. Woo!
Here's your first teaser of what these things are able to do.
One special ability, no relation to what model it is.
No, it's going to be universal. It's gonna be a chef like, this model. Guy can do the universal reactions.
Oh my God. You're going to get playable piece in it. They're like, check out this stat. 95 points for 5 move and 3 toughness. Mm-hmm. And you're just
heat, absolute heat. I'm worried for
every
you
time.
I bet that cat sucks. They only ever suck.
Seriously,
like
they only
I
think bad
cool
ones.
Animal.
I have 2 Kindle drops because I like the model so much. Like it doesn't matter if it's not the best model in the box. I still love them.
Mm-hmm. The monkeys from KMK, you know, are not the sucks, but
they're not
the
pets.
Only...
They're you know.
This is coming from the guy that would not play them for months.
Oh, yeah. No, they're horrible-looking models. They're horrible.
That's wrong.
They're as bad as the awful, awful hounds.
Yeah.
Those were so sad.
Awful. The name
you got the leak from that, so that Portuguese leak, and then it was just like, look at this, what's going to happen? And then it was just like they're like centaurs almost. They're like, we made it have a really weird upright upper torso, and then made this fast.
It's like forward and up, right? Yeah. The head's so high on it, and you're like, what is happening here?
That's okay. Those... Onto the shelf you go. Never need to touch you. Your stats are trash.
Don't worry. You get 2 of them. Like,
yeah, right.
Wow. Oh, thank you. Yeah. What I always wanted.
Can I cut the arms off and make a different ghoul? I can.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm surprised that's been as delayed. It's got to be something to do with shipping at this point. Like, because there's a lot of, they're still waiting for Kill Team stuff, too, that they released, like the Night Lords. And so, like, they've gone radio silent on a bunch of things. But don't worry, we're getting what we're going to talk about shortly, Tolan Kallus.
Yeah.
And we're also getting.
Like that? When you flip them,
why?
I don't know, man.
That?
I have a hard time going the other way. We're struggling here.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Thank you, though. I appreciate your concern for it.
Interesting, because you can get Tolan Kallus right now. Like,
oh, yeah. It's on my way to my house.
They come out, you know? I think they come out Saturday, right? I think they're on
23rd.
Next Saturday.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is like, you could have ordered them last week. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
and same thing with the Dark Oath guys. You're going to get the Dark Oath. You know it's following the same formula, which I'm super stoked that it's like Black Talons.
Aren't up yet, I don't think, right? You can't buy them.
They're not. No, okay. Not yet. But, like, it's coming. And
they're
like,
coming.
I mean, if it's any indication, there's also like a book, Black Library book coming out for them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, and they did the same thing for Kallus and Toll. Did I do it right? Mm-hmm. Correct. So
I'll put a sticker on the chart, Rob.
Yeah, I think
I get 5. I get the box.
I think that GW just kind of got ahead of itself in terms of like announcing releases. Like, I think that the marketing department's like, oh, great. Well, we have a release announcement happening in February, so, or at LVO. So let's announce all of these things because everybody's going to be watching it. And the you know, logistics department's just like, what are you doing? We're still in old world right now. Like, you know, we haven't even gotten to these other ones. So,
but they could still do stuff like, you know, an article every month about, like, you know, here's the, you know, the Pyregeist rules, and then here's the
Luminous we haven't
rules.
Even seen
like,
that.
Space that out. You haven't seen anything for it. It's crazy.
Nothing. We got, like, Kalos and Tol rules, right? Like, we got that right away. We're going to get, I guarantee, I'm going to call it now, like, if we don't see them re-release or that, we need to see a new roadmap for Warcry. It would also be stellar because there's still the Flood and Fire, and Fire, and then there's two more coming out, which is, you know, what we think OBR and Tremex would be, which would be sweet. But then we need to kind of see where we're building up from that year because we're about to go into fourth edition.
Yeah.
So are we going to be
AOS,
dragged in?
No Warcry.
Right,
AOS. Just in case anybody got confused.
Yeah.
What happened to third?
We're skipping it. We're
threw it right out.
Peter, you've been sleeping for a year. And
Peter's internet is somehow ahead of us now?
Guys, I saw the rules.
Well, I really think it's going to jump ahead. I think, like, was it last time we got a batch of rules? It was like, hey, here's like 10 war bands in a span of 2 months. And I think, which I'm not complaining, but like, I think we're it's more likely going to be just like, here is like a pile of stuff, go figure it out. And yeah, I'm still going to say,
I wouldn't be surprised though if we get the new Slaves to Darkness rules like in a PDF.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. I'm really hoping, like, we can't, it's chaos. Peter's pegged it as it's just chaos rules. Like, by the way, here's this new FEC rework for everybody. And it's awesome because it's like, it's content to dig into, to shake everything up, to try and test with and try to pull the game like around in a different like meta sense, like, right? Like, how's this going to alter everything? Does this impact anything? Are we, what are we testing it with? And I if they're really doing that like as a big supplementary thing for AOS, like it's going to be Dark Oath, which is going to be its own separate thing with inside Slaves of Darkness, not just I think it was like Ravagers was the like sub faction inside of, and you used like Marauders or you used, I think it was Warcry Warbands, right? And it was just cool, but like now they're giving them their own thing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we have enough to just lump them in and make its own faction.
They're not in AOS, they're not getting their own faction, they're getting a PDF supplementary like thing, right?
It's going to be they're probably going to redesign the faction within the sub faction within it.
It's a sub faction,
so they'll have something, they'll have something for like Dark Oath, like tribes or whatever. And then, like, that's where you can have, like, if your general is a Dark Oath War Queen or whatever it might be, probably something like that, which is still awesome, like, good for them. But like, hopefully we've been getting like the delicious drizzles off the side of the table.
The thing is, like, it's probably going to continue, right? Like with 4.0 coming out,
They're
not going to want to drop a bunch of Warcry, which is just going to compete with other AOS stuff, right? People are going to go out, buy a box of the new AOS. They can't also, they could, but if they also release Warcry stuff at the same time, you have people that are into AOS and Warcry kind of overlap a little bit. They're all only going to go so far, right? So they're going to probably want to space those out. So my guess is, like, right before they release fourth, you probably see them drop the models they've already promised and then announce the other stuff. Let the Aegis Sigmar stuff drop. Probably do a couple PDFs maybe in between to update.
Whole summer.
And then, I imagine it's going to be a dry summer, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. I bet the last Warcry release that we're going to get is May, honestly. Yeah. And we won't see another thing again until October.
Yeah.
And that's okay as long as
that's
kind of
what they did last year too, right? Other than the Crypt of Blood or the Crypt of Blood, the starter set. I think that was
dry for us. But the Christmas gifts came Boku.
Which made my life easier at Nova Open, because then I didn't have to do what I did the first year we did it and like get the 2.0 release exactly 14 days before the tournament started. Everyone's like, what's a monster?
We're still on the clock right now. We could get a points update before Adepticon.
Was March 17th was the cutoff. So if they like rehaul points right now, We're scrambled.
Uh-oh.
Not Peter. That's why he's been painting all these gits.
I'm ready.
Peter goes underneath his bed, lifts like
gits are getting squatted. Sorry, like, Pete. They don't exist anymore. Gets. They can't be proxied.
Right. All right. So, last thing about like, kind of our news and Adepticon. What warbands are you taking for the tournament, and what warbands are you taking for the narrative? And Peter, kick us off.
Well, so yeah, I already said I'm bringing Gits, which I've been slowly kind of expanding away from Gits for smaller tournaments, but I'm still wanting to get first at either Nova or Adepticon with Gits.
He still has to hold mommy and daddy's head when he crosses the big streets.
Yeah. Whittle Petey and his Whittle Goblin hands.
That's right. But I'm focused. I'm determined. That's what's happening now. Usually with narrative, it's where I look at all the models that are like, oh, I would never bring this to competitive. So that's I kind of mix match it. So I bring something that hurts and something that really doesn't, and we'll have
fun.
And then
Peter accidentally discovers the new meta Gits list that he just stumbles into. That's absolutely
Hellwater.
Oops. Right. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it was good. Like.
But yeah. So
that's awesome, Peter. Though I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. So plus, after building this whole display thing, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna just use the display for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like, and it's great too. I'm excited. It's got a good, got some good height to it. Really stands out.
That's the idea anyway. So yeah, no, just prepping that, and then it'll be prepping for April, which will be the next Jersey tournament, and I got to figure out something wacky to do there. But yeah, Depcon, it's all
starts
good.
With a G and ends with a oops. Nope. Bite gets.
Nope. Nope. Yeah. I'll do something else.
Starts with a tyrant and ends with a gut lord.
Kyle, what are you bringing?
I want to see you do it.
So for the competitive thing, I've got a kind of like an abomination of a Soul Blight list with some Flesh Eater Quartz allies. So it's 11 models, basically a whole bunch of Underworlds guys. I got all of Velmoran's sons. I've got all of D'Antelos' zombies, a Vampire Lord, and then the Cardinal and the Marrow Scroll Herald. So,
wow.
Basically, I'm going to be printing out like an essay of all my abilities to give to my opponent, and they're going to spend half their time just reading what my abilities can do, and then try to figure out what models actually can do it. It's going to be that many abilities.
Some people like to go to cons and make friends, and Kyle said, not me. That's not what I'm here for.
While they're reading, he's like, gotcha! Yeah.
It's like something like 23 or 24 abilities if you count the basic ones. It's going to be honest.
Testing against his list for like the past month like made me want to go back in time and stop my mom from conceiving me. Like, I hated life. It was like a month and a half of getting pummeled in the most oppressive manner, and you're just like, why is this? I hope we go right into third edition. I was just like, this is horrible. I was just crying. I had my little blankie with me. I just laid down on the floor. I was like, please, mister, no more mister.
It's a brutal list.
Yeah, it touches
my I'm excited to see how it does.
Kyle, what are you doing for narrative?
So I'm a little torn right now because I really was thinking Royal Beast Flayers because they're just kind of like my pet faction. I actually painted up a couple other Flesh Eater Court stuff. I was thinking about doing like a 10-man with like a 1 leader, 1 baron, whole bunch of ghouls, and then just running the Vargulf. Just because I want to see what that Vargulf can do, just run around the board and hammer into people, and just really test out some of that Flesh Eater Quartz stuff, because I really haven't played a ton of it on the tabletop yet. Mm. I've been painting it, but I just want to see how it goes. And I know Royal Beast Flayers, so put the two together, it could be a good time.
Either so what that you're or telling me is region, so. You're going to play another form of Shade of Gray is the consensus. Mm-hmm. You're going from gray to gray.
Yeah, I'm playing death and then some more death, but I might bring my soul sworn too. And if I'm like mentally taxed on the previous day, 6 models and just jamming games.
Is hell yeah. Your too. Soul sworn look gorgeous too, dude. And it's not a rumble pack. So you have a chance to have fun this time.
Yeah. So that's my plan.
Mike, what are you bringing?
All right, so I got for a competitive, I'm going Monster Killers. I will say I'm not necessarily anticipating. I could roll well and do well. I'm not expecting to do terribly well with them. This was very much the meme dream is coming alive for that list. 10 models. I'll share a little bit of it. I got 4 egg grots in there. Packing eggs, baby. Yeah. And that's only because they couldn't find a 5th one. So, no.
you dried up all your sources in right. Italy.
Yeah, Italy is got wow. no
your, dealer, your egg dealers are dried out. Up.
So yeah, rocking those guys for competitive, and then for narrative, I'm rocking Cities of Sigmar Castellites with 10 Gargoylians in there, packing the pets.
Oh,
we're getting
God.
Wild. Again, it'll all make a lot more sense when you actually see them. I'll share them online and yeah. stuff like that for folks that aren't around for a
let's say for everyone who's watching both of these teams, he's fully kit bashing, and the yeah. kit bashes are awesome. So
I got some wild display boards for both of them too that I'm super stoked about. That yeah, it's gonna be fun. Got you hopefully know, hoping to make people smile.
When
like, I'm
when
all you, about conversions, but like I do a lot of conversion work, but I've been getting so giddy just watching Mike work at these two. Like I'm
yeah,
so
they're awesome.
I'm so excited.
Yeah,
it's really tough because like some people like. Kyle and Peter wake up and choose violence, and then Mike wakes up and chooses dreaming, and he makes it a reality, and it's the most beautiful, soul heartening. You're like, oh wow, people actually still enjoy this game, and then like you turn and look at Kyle, and you're just like, well, fuck me. So sorry, that's my one, Justin. My apologies.
That's it. That's the one.
That's the one. Kyle blew his in the first 3 minutes. We're getting demonetized.
Pete, we still got ours.
Yeah, Pete and Mike still good.
Rob, what are you bringing?
We're going Castellite Hosts, Cities of Sigmar.
And you're only doing competitive.
I'm right? only doing competitive because I've never played narrative. Nobody will play narrative that I know of. So
literally all of us will. He just doesn't want.
We refuse to play with narrative with Rob. So you know.
Rob shows up with a 10 plague bearer narrative list, and we're like, Rob, I don't think you understand what's happening right now.
Yeah. We're going. I mean, like it's any combination of those models that I showed before that I. I worked hard on for those, but and it's like probably the faction that I've put the most into. It was like between that and Monster Killers, and I was just like, you know what? We got some dudes. Let's be some dudes.
And he loves playing against Soulblight.
I have a lot of good matchups, and Soulblight is not one of them.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I my experience with the narrative at Adepticon, like I had a good time with it. But I feel like some people like brought tournament lists to it. I'm like, bro, what are you bringing here? Yeah, not yeah, Peter.
Peter's like, all right, I'm gonna try out a crusher and see how it does. It's 4-8.
Yeah. Peter's like, this is my soft tickle
list.
Take
the first spin, see what he gets in, do a little bit of mischief.
Yeah. Yeah, I played against a couple. So I brought the Rottmeyer Creed last year, like just a straight box of Rottmeyer Creed, and just got curb stomped every game. And not
that a lot. One box Rottmeyer, that's how I started 2.0, and it was not fun.
And I mean, I don't get me wrong, I wasn't planning to win a lot. Sorry, that's my dog who keeps wanting to. No, get
I thought
again.
You had some sort of tick that was happening, and I didn't want to ask about it.
Doesn't mean you shouldn't try to win.
Okay, Peter. All right. So listen.
The violence. You choose violence, Peter.
Daily. Hey,
look, it's okay.
My description of the Nova Open is: bring me your filthiest list that you have. Right, and that way everybody knows
what you ask for.
I know exactly. Filthiest war band lists. Okay, you know we're not straying from that, Rob. So
don't look at Kyle's notepad.
bring me your youngest child. I mean, your filthiest war band list.
So, but you know, I mean, the point of that though is like for a tournament that says, you know, like. Bring me the nastiest stuff that you got. Like everybody knows it's like no holds barred, right? Narrative though, it's such a mix that you get in there that it just ends up being weird. But I mean, the nice thing is that like most of that most of the stuff that they do isn't based on wins and losses. I mean, some of it is, but like a lot of the other stuff is not. So,
but their quests are so good. They put so much work into 100%. Writing them, and like the Fear and Loathing style quest last year that they did, where it's like you had to collect these mushrooms, and then it was just like you can take them or you can give them back to the guy, and everybody chose to take them.
Everyone's like, "We're taking these. Yeah.
We're gonna take the mushrooms." But yeah, I'm super stoked because last year I got a teaser of it, and they've been super busy knocking them out this year, and I haven't seen any of it, so I'm really, really excited. I think it's going to be the same format, though. Have like three different paths to go down, but it should be awesome.
Very good. Awesome, awesome. All right, well, let's get to I wish all of you the best of luck. I wish that the top four of the tournament is right here. I'm not going to say in any order, just like I'm not choosing who the one chaff is. Right? But why did everybody look at Kyle? Why did everybody look at Kyle when I said that?
I guess today's my day. I don't know.
I said it and everybody's eyes went to you, buddy. But I don't know. It was weird. So, no, but like...
Kyle's got the nastiest list out of all of us, if we're being honest.
I would say it's the most impressive. Here, like, it would be great if all of you guys had it right here, right? So,
and Dan can get in that top five with us too, right? Since he's not here, we'll bring it. We'll drag it along.
Honorary top five. There you go.
With his Scions of the Flame. I hope he does well with those. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's so cool to do well with stuff like that.
Double it or double box of it, or is he allying things in?
He's allying. I can't remember if he decided on it or not, but yeah, he's got a fun list. He's got some spice in there.
Oh, it's no big deal. It's just a Charybdis.
Yeah. Your classic Chaos Charybdis.
Exactly.
Bring him on over.
Like, wait a minute, Charybdis.
It's what else starts with a K sound in Chaos? It's a really good monster.
No, it's probably a Scions of the Flame with two FOMO crushers in it. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, AKA
Peter's Sunday casual list.
Peter's friendly new player experience. He's like, listen, this is how this works. You're going to lay there. I'm going to kick you in the solar plexus.
As background, Justin, the first time I was going to play Javi in TTS, I said I was going to bring Sybarites, but with double FOMO crushers. And Javi was like, no, why?
Yeah, dude.
Why are you doing this?
I mean, to add on, he came to the Jersey tournament. He had this crazy tyrant list. I'm like, this is going to be mostly like new players. You probably shouldn't bring that. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'll just bring like three souped up Fellwater Trogoths instead. And just like utterly killed everyone like 2 seconds.
Dude, Peter, did you at least bring lube for them?
You know? No, he had a mason jar of spit he's been saving for a year. It was his, he's just glossing in. He's like, here you go, kids.
Peter.
Drizzle, like a honey wand.
This is why we left Peter, though. Peter has no... Peter can't...
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, dude.
Peter can't take... Like, it's either on or off for Peter. There's no dial. You can't dial it down. It's either you win or you lose, right,
there's,
Peter?
There's two settings. There's on or off, and it's stuck in on. There's
the off is broken. Really just another on.
Do you want on or on? Because that's your choice.
But to be fair, though, like...
Oh, this says overdrive. What does this mean?
Having players like Pete and like Kyle and Mike and myself, and like we get to test against each other, like it just iron sharpens iron. And oh, it's just... Sure. It's exasperating, but it's also invigorating to be like, this is what we're playing against. It's like, we're in the hyperbolic time chamber. We're coming out KO can times 100 after it. But it's also like, it's good to have that drive though, because it's, it makes it feel like there's like, we're really trying to compete for something, and it's a lot of fun. And then when like Peter and I have faced each other in every tournament I've been with him, and it's awesome. It's like a long-standing friendly rivalry where we like play to clock. It's a knife fight, but like it's pizza cutters instead of knives. So we're just gliding across each other.
Oh, I like that idea, Rob.
Like yeah, right. Cutters, right. Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's called an Italian knife fight. And it's also called Christmas morning at my house.
You've got the pizza cutter in this hand and you're doing this with the other.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Hey.
Throwing cheese at
the
face.
All that practice has taught me one thing, and that's how to beat Rob playing Castellites. So as long as I get that matchup round one, I'm good to go.
Yeah, but that's when you're gonna roll all ones, and I'm gonna just—it's gonna be quad six off the rip. You know it's gonna happen, and then you're just gonna look at me. The tilt is gonna set in, and it's gonna just.
Awesome. Well, we all right. Well, good luck. Good luck again. Yeah, okay. All of you, good luck. 1-4 right here. I already called it, so it is what it is. All right, we're moving on to our faction focus right now, which we're going to talk about Order of Azir, and then we're going to pull up Kallus and Tol and talk about how they fit in there. So Order of Azir is basically they were a kind of Underworlds model, like warband that was released, and they basically said, well, they don't really fit as an Underworld or like as a Bladeborn to any specific faction, so we're just going to make them their own faction, and said, ta-da, there's Order of Azir, which I haven't done the math. Do they even add up to 1,000 points?
Not individually on either one.
Yeah, not individually. No. I didn't think so. So, like, you can't really, like, unless you got 2 boxes of them or something like that.
You can't because they're
unique models.
Named characters, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, you basically have to bring allies in to play them, right?
Or if you get both of them, if you get the heroes or saviors of Cinderfall and the Hexbane Hunters, those you can mix and match to 1,000.
But before the Saviors of Cinderfall came out, which is just like 2 weeks ago, like you couldn't bring in another one, right? Like you had to bring in some Stormcast or KO or whatever or something like that, right?
Yeah, you typically saw a lot of people allying in Hexbane. And then allying in like a couple of his boys from his underworld, typically Quiet Pock, and some dogs. You would just shove them into a warband and fill out some numbers and give some good range shots. So Order of Azir was hinted for them. And if you watch the Hammer and Bolter episode on Warhammer Plus, James, if you're listening, I'm subscribed. Let's go. Also White Dwarf. Let's go, James. That's double. You hit me double time.
Wow.
You still haven't released any Warcry. Right, come on. And then they're from the Order. Like it's like basically like a special ops witch hunters. Yeah. It's pretty sick. It's really cool. And
they're great models.
Yeah,
they're like phenomenal. Amazing models.
I have to say, like vibe and aesthetic, they're absolutely amazing. When I paint, I listen to audiobooks. I listened both Van Denst ones, which aren't in here yet. I hope they are. But I've been listening to the Kallus and Tol books, and they're really, really good. Nice. So it's kind of cool seeing them on the tabletop alive after you've listened to the book and heard all the cool stuff they went through.
So let's talk about the models in Order of Azir right now, specifically Hexbane Hunters. Which one? Let's start with the hero. How do you like him as a model?
Hexbane will be down lower, I think.
Hexbane
Justin.
Will be lower this up here.
Oh, sorry, I'm ahead of our toe. Yeah, here we go.
No, it's okay. It's your
Axel Hexbane. Yeah, that's right.
He's spicy. He's already been putting up some tournament results and stuff like that. They've got the ability to just add your value to crits and stuff like that. He can really crank out some damage. And like I think when we started talking about it together, that 125 points for 20 wounds and 4 toughness as a defensive profile is just phenomenal. That's just such good value for
it's a bespoke leader, right? Super 20 wounds and 4 toughness ranged.
But it's even more tanky than that because they have an awesome reaction to heal before they're hit. So you're like, all right, T4 20 wounds isn't like the tankiest thing on the planet. But then every time your opponent hits you, you're like, yeah, I'm just going to heal 3. And it's just like, okay, heal, you know, essentially 6 every 2 attacks. It takes forever just to crank through them, which is awesome.
He reminds me of the Great Bray Shaman, honestly. That piece is a super underrated defensive piece whenever I've played it. I just use that reaction, and you can soak. He's the same 20 wounds, 4 toughness, but you can reduce all of the hits by 1 damage. So, I mean, it can stick around way longer than you expect it to for a relatively cheap. And it's another one that's got range. So, yeah, I love that model, so I love this one. It's even cheaper and got some fun abilities.
One of the big key themes amongst a lot of these models in both Saviors and Hexbane Hunters, they have a lot of no minimum range, good ship shooting. It plays off their quad. If they have a hero rune mark, if you kill something and then you quad, you can target something else. And I think it's like all warriors within X distance can turn and just target it, which is like,
I thought it's if you had someone killed, you had they had to kill one of your models.
Hollowed Vengeance. I think it's like what if its enemy fighter took down a friendly fighter in a previous action? Yeah, you get the turn and just face it, which is just really like it's niche, but like when it comes up, like imagine it, and its enemy fighter right can make bonus attacks and must target that fighter. There's no range. There's no 3 inches. There's no 1 inch. There's no 2 inch.
Right.
So then if you go and scroll through that and you see everybody's got this 8 inch no minimum profile, everyone just turns and starts peppering into something, and enough dice, enough weight of dice is going to stick. Like so, it's.
It feels like
that's a way to take down a FOMO crusher right there, right? Mm. Like if all your dudes are hitting that thing all at once, like boom, boom, boom.
Well, what's funny about it is like you have like these 55 point dogs, and you could trigger this quad off of them just killing your dog.
Yeah.
It's an order of a zero model. So it's like, all right, you killed, you know, did 6 wounds to my dog. And then all of a sudden you have like 8 models just shooting that. And it's like
John Wick moment right there.
Yeah. Super dramatic. It's awesome.
Deserved. Yeah. You should feel bad. And we're going to make sure you do.
Yeah.
Kill my puppy.
It's a real pro tactic of playing this team. Make your opponent feel guilty for killing the dogs on your team.
Same, same with Wildercore. If somebody kills your dog in Wildercore, you have to shout, "So you're saying that you took down my dog? You killed it? You killed out loud so everybody can hear?"
Right.
Make sure you really announce it to the room.
Yeah, you need to let everybody know that they're an animal abuser and that you're not going to stand for it. Otherwise, you're not really playing the high level of Catholicism guilt that I was raised with. So, like, you really got to dig that in. It's really effective in terms of playing with an opponent, making friends. The other notable profile is Quiet Pock that's been added. So, like, you can't just add him, right? You have to add Hexbane and then add him in if you're going into, like, Fire Slayers or Lumineth Realm, whatever, another faction, right?
Yep.
He offers 3-15, 2-4-3-6, and it's kind of an interesting range. He's only got like 10 HP, 150 points, kind of frail for it. If you scroll up for the abilities, his double is basically, it's insane, dude. Explosive bolts. So it reminds you, like when you roll the hit, you can't crit. Like if you crit, it doesn't trigger. You have to have an actual flat hit. But it's everybody takes half the value rounded up within 3 inches. So like right off the rip in a deployment, like it's 3 inches, like you're hitting a whole deployment and just peppering a shot. And then everybody's gunning for this ten HP model. And then you're using the reaction, you're disengaging, you're getting value out of him, even if he's not on a point or something. I think all of us have seen through TTS League, he's been nothing but overperforming whenever he's in something. It's kind of like how Kixitaka and the stupid chameleons were like everywhere for a while.
Yeah.
People started playing with Hexbane and started inserting that in there. And it's been it's just super solid. It's just a super solid pick.
To be clear, you can get a crit, but it only triggers off of a hit.
Right. So if you hit a crit, and a crit, it's gonna trigger.
Yeah, then it works. Right.
Right.
Because there are some like what is it? It's the
dogs
gladiatorial review, gladiatorial review or a display or whatever, which is like their reaction on the Daughters of Cain is if you don't get a crit, then they do damage back to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just to be clear, like you can get a crit, but it works off of your hit.
Yep.
You just need one hit. So which is fine.
Yeah, it's just a good piece. You bless him. People usually bless up the strength, so he's just picking
bless
up the chaff.
Him up to 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's at 4, which isn't terrible.
No.
But a 5 15, is really nice.
15-inch range, he shoots farther than an Aether Cannon, too, in KO.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is pretty crazy. I just think a lot of teams like the fact that I'm playing a mostly melee team. I bring in Hexbane and Pock, and suddenly I got friendly, decently cheap, just range damage, and just kind of changes the dynamic of your team overall.
Yeah.
You think about it, too. You throw in Hexbane, Pock, and the two dogs. I mean, that's what, 385?
That's 385 for four models.
Yeah, 4 models as one ally slot. I mean, that sets you up for a lot of different builds.
Right.
That not only come nice as a package and fill a lot of roles, but synergize with that quad as well, right? And like, yeah, it just, you know, Kixi Taka and the Chameleons are so good because you get this great range piece, you get this awesome utility buff from Kixi Taka, and then you also get cheap bodies that are fast to move around. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing here. It's just, it's a very, very adjacent kind of thing. It just depends on how you want to build your warband. Do you need that toughness and movement buff from Kixi Taka, or are you looking to just kind of pump out some more damage and have a couple more speedy bodies that are even cheaper, you know, Beast Remark and stuff? But yeah, it's just a great, great option for anything. And order typically is, unless you're playing like Hunters or Huanchi, you want those things. You want cheap bodies. You want ranged. It's just such everything you're looking for that comes in this nice little package.
I mean, yeah. Even if you just bring the dogs, right? It's three models for 230. Mm-hmm. Like barely a quarter of your list, three models. Yeah. You can really just spike up whatever your low number list is just by adding Hexbane and the two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs are pretty fast. Yeah,
6 inches. They rip.
Now, do you guys like Amos Duncaro?
I mean, I'll put it this way. Like, if you're going pure just Order of Azir, I think he plays his role perfectly fine, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
105 points. He's not terribly expensive. 15 wounds is fine. Strength 5. But, I mean, this is where everyone's going to laugh, you know, compared to a Graveguard, right? Which is 3-5-2-4, and it's 50 points cheaper for 5 less wounds and 1 less move. It's like, eh. You know, it seems a little
bit. Stark comparison. Jesus.
Yeah. It's a little expensive, so.
It's the same stats as an Archknight or a Bone Hacker, minus the range. But 3-5-2-4, it surprisingly gets a good amount of work.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
And it synergizes with the rest of it for being a warrior. It's got 15 wounds at 105. That's not the worst.
I think he's a great – like, oftentimes you'll end up in a spot with your list where you're kind of thinking about blessings or upgrading, you know, into the next level of fighter for a spot. And I think he's a great option as an upgrade for a list where he's not super expensive and you get, you know, relatively solid stats for what you're paying to get for him.
What would you upgrade him with blessings?
Oh, no, I wouldn't put more into them, to be clear. Yeah, I would say if it was the rest of the list you had some space, I would. He's got 15 wounds. I mean, so you're getting a 25-point attack buff if you do want to go into him. Tough 5, maybe. 4 wounds keeps him around for a while. You know, I think – but again, that's not the model I would be chucking extra points at. It's more – just someone that you could pump him up a little – but pump up from, say, you know, a 60-point model.
He looks like Dave Bautista a little bit.
He does.
Like,
100%.
I can kind of vibe with that. So
I guess my Dune Warband is getting started now.
Dude, he absolutely looks like, you know, the Baron right there, right?
Harkonnen over here.
Yeah.
Amos Harkonnen.
100% Harkonnen. So you just need to dress him in all black, right? So that you got a Harkonnen Warband.
Mm-hmm.
Easy day.
Yep.
So. Awesome. Bridget Axwald, does that do anything for you guys?
I get flack for this one, but I actually really like Bridget for what she brings to the table. Strength 5 on a 6-inch attack, like, it's kind of spicy, right? Like, sure, it's only 2-3 damage, but she's a 95-point model. Like, in melee, she's 3-3-2-3, so she gets more attacks, but S5 on any ranged attack, I'm going to look at and say, maybe I could play around with this, right? Mm-hmm. Mostly hitting on threes, no minimum range. Like, is it going to absolutely destroy something? No, but could easily put like 4-8 damage on most models? Absolutely. And at a 6-inch range, like, it just feels nice. So that's my take on it.
And that is so clutch, right? Like, all these guys can back each other up if they're in combat. Like,
right. I'm going to. One, she has some sort of George Washington looking ass wig going on.
Yeah, paint the teeth wooden.
Kyle said, I like what she brings to the table, and I was thinking, not her haircut.
For sure. If you can lop that head up.
She's a Puritan.
Yeah, dude, she's a Quaker.
Is this a paper bag candidate, Rob?
Let's do FMK for all of the models. Who are we going to?
Oh, my God.
We're going to head swap all of them, yeah.
I'll put the dog head on there. It would be an improvement.
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be a pretty cool idea. I think she's interesting in the same way that Amos is interesting, is that I think they're both fine. They're both decent for what they do, but there's probably better things to be doing. So
if she was
serviceable, but not the first choice.
I'm just like having Claws of Karanak flashback of like T3, 10 wounds. Well, they have 12.
Yeah.
like 90 points.
She doesn't have to be in melee though.
Right, like her job is to kind of just sit like 3 inches out behind somebody and just shoot at things that they're engaged with. And like the 5'2" like Kyle is, right? Like 2'5", 2'3" is really interesting at 6 inches. Mm-hmm. I just like 95 points. I can upgrade 10 and go up to Amos. I can go up to get Dave Bautista, or I can like, who's got another toughness, 5 more wounds. Like he's got another, like you're going to use his attack profile to get stuff done. Like
he's only got the melee option though, right?
So yeah, melee, right? Like she's a little bit more flexible. It's 95. They have this weird thing going on, and when we go to Kallus and Tol, you're gonna see like these points fit in very awkwardly and weirdly. So like you have a dump of like, yeah, I could dump 95 points and have like 10 points for a crit blessing on someone, or I can upgrade it to 105 and just take Amos Duncarrow. Like, what am I looking for? So it's kind of like, it's not a bad option, but it's kind of like like it's okay. Like compared to Pac and like the others that we're going to talk about, they're not the show. And also yet again, like that model is like whoever designed the face for Bridget Axwald, sick name. The attack profile is cool. I can get down with the pose. And then the, 1820s, 80-year-old man head on there can just pass, hard pass all of it.
She's almost got like the Princess Leia headphone braids going on.
It's like the old curls, like from the wigs they wore.
Victorian era. Maybe it is a wig.
I just decided that's going to be my, what's it called? What's the gut wig guy from Flesh Eater Courts? That's going to be Judge Gourmet, Justice Gourmet. That's going to be what he imagines himself as, is that haircut. When he's wearing that wig.
That's exactly what it is. It's horrible on her, though. I'd rather have the intestines.
For me, it's more about, like, if I'm playing the pure Order of Azir, because that's what I try to think the warbands as. Like, they're kind of class fantasy, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they want to shoot when they can, right? They're not really a team that wants to get in there and just punch people in the face, right? These are people that go hunting vampires. You're not going to punch a vampire in the face and have a good day 99% of the time. It's a vampire. Right?
Yeah. But that's why he's got his huge gorget, right? Like, he's protecting his neck.
He's got all the armor and everything else. So I just think that, like...
He's been listening to the Wu-Tang.
But even like from a normal standpoint, like Bridget can move 4 inches and then shoot 6, right? It's a 10-inch threat range that you probably pop 2 to 4 damage pretty consistently. That's not a bad support piece.
Clean stuff up. Nice to be able to just wheel around.
And pepper. And I mean, like anything from playing like Castellite for the past like 3 months, chip shot damage matters in this game.
Sure.
Yeah, like you're not gonna like chip down like a Varengard. Like you're gonna feed it a dog and then like go wild on something else. But like chip shot matters when everything's moving in and all of a sudden they're at 10 or 12 wounds and all they're down to 8 or 6.
Yeah.
It factors in what they need to do and where you need to be. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, you're hitting deployments with Pac. You know, they're moving into Hexbane, who can stand and scrap for a little bit. Like it's pretty interesting with the short mid-range like pistol shots, I think is like a really cool play style.
Which is funny because I feel like even like 6 months ago, you look at a pistol profile and you're like, move on, you know? But I don't know if the meta's shifting a little bit now to consider those a little bit more. And maybe that's, you know, maybe born out of some of your TTS league a little bit of being able to try it more and see some results. You know what I mean? And now you're able to kind of like play with it a little bit more.
That mid-range kind of like pistol shooting things has gotten a lot of support over the past couple months between Order of Azir, Wilderkor Hunter, and I'll even argue like Flame Seekers. Like, they're throwing axes, but those axes crit on a double, right? It's the same principle. Right. Like, just more good teams have released with that play style, and people are realizing, like, this is actually pretty powerful.
Yeah, well, 6 to 8 inches, not all no minimum range.
It's just it's the new mid-range that's good. It's not the old stuff.
The new mid-range profile. Yeah. Like they kind of fix their sins of the past a little bit, and they're kind of like where the old 1.0 archers and gun line and artillery line were like scary. Mm-hmm. These are kind of like they figured
and
out
non-interactive
how to
too.
And when non-interactive,
you just
have
10 skinks and you just crit fished with 10 skinks, double shooting, critting for 4 damage. It's nobody's having a good time. You can't unless you just need to win, right? But
that's where 6 is good because most people are going to be able to charge her after one turn anyway. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel like, oh, they just hit me from 60 miles away and I'm never going to be there.
You can't counter it either unless you're KO or COS. Like, you can't react to it. So there's some things to be said, you know, just cut the head off. You can play it without the head. It's an improved model.
Well, something to think about too, right, is this warband's kind of designed around not having to be engaged as much. Right. Right. So, like, it'd be one thing if you played with multiple Titan pieces where you constantly want to be in melee, then yeah, you're not going to feel like you're getting the best out of your pistols. But when half your warband is chipping away at multiple objects there, and then you got a couple of pieces that engage in the right spots, that makes a really big difference.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. Are there any, I mean, we talked about a couple of their abilities. Is there anything else that, with the Hexbane that stood out to you?
Other than explosive bolts, both leaders get access to Brand of Righteousness, which, you add the value of it, of the triple to their crit. So it's like a big gamble. Like, but if you look at that compared to the other triples, like, you're rarely, if anything, going to use this.
There's Brand of Righteousness. You're right.
There's a million triples here. Like, this is a very unique warband, and I think it's a very high skill cap warband. So you're going to see a lot of people pick up these cool boxes and be like, I'm playing Witch Hunters, Dad. And then they just get tabled because it's not going to be an easy warband to play. They're going to have a horrible win rate, but I think they're going to ultimately be pretty decent. How competitive? I don't know.
I don't think they're that.
I'm going to push them because I think they have some of the most game breaking stuff, like Secrets from the Shadows, Break Upon My Shield, give them both barrels, like tangle them up. Mm-hmm. Every single triple that comes from that box for Callous and Toll is a absolute back breaking ability. Mm-hmm. Like, tangle them up off a 75 point model, reduce your FOMO attack to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's wild. And then they're just going to skirt around. They're going to pick off your cheap chaff that they can have, get a little numbers advantage, just dance around on points. Like, it's playing similar to COS, but instead of this defensive reaction play style, you're chosen to kind of have this,
it's control, right? You're adding control.
Tempo play style. Like, give them both barrels is just a pseudo rampage on a triple of just, Callous gets to make an extra attack, and it's the value of the ability times 2 for the distance. But it doesn't matter if you're within 3. You just shoot. Like, yeah, okay.
I think you hit it on the head. Like, I even look at the new FEC, which I know still needs to be judged, but a lot of people are like, well, I lost, like, Chosen of the King. I lost all this damage. But I'm like, you gained all these control pieces, right?
Yeah.
A different way to attack the game. I mean, I just look at, for example, like, Secrets from the Shadows. And all I can say is, how many times have we all played where a single quad can win us the game?
Right. I don't know, Peter. How many times have we played where a quad will win the game, Peter?
As first turn, man. Just that's how it starts.
And so, like, this team just can go if they, you know, on their triple, basically at any time, if they get priority, great. Even if they don't, it tells your opponent you have to use your quad turn 1 or it's gone, just straight up gone. That could really break a team in terms of, like, what their strategy is, what they want to do. Because, I mean, just imagine your opponent has got trip 6s, makes a quad 6, you see that. You spend your wild dice to get initiative and have a triple, and then just completely remove their triple, their wild dice, their plan, their tempo, just because that's my ability. Like, it really does kind of change the pace of the game. They're punished from the other end where, like, yeah, their stats aren't groundbreaking, but these control pieces make up for it a ton.
And I mean, talking about Callous and Toll specifically, and we'll get into the models here, they don't have any double abilities.
No. I mean,
that is tough. Yep. Except for, but that is tough. That is really, really tough. Cause I mean, I lived on the Bone Splitter's double ability. I lived on the, you know, the Iron Jaws double ability. You know what I mean? Like, and when you have double abilities that you can just constantly churn out, like, that can help a lot.
It's something to consider if you're building with them. And I was actually just thinking about this today. I haven't spent a ton of time since they come out really considering them, but they would have loved to have existed at the same time that the Cities of Sigmar old version existed, Tempest Eye, when they could have that reaction to get extra wild dice. Is there anything in order right now that can churn out, like, that can get you extra wild? Oh, actually, no, never mind.
You could bless your 40 points if you wanted to do that.
Just a blessing, and that's not going to be your best, but...
The Soul Shepherd.
Sigmar has got the, you don't.
Yeah, but you can't, those can never interact. You can't get them. And he can't come over.
The one thing I will point out, though, is, like, you know, each turn you can get a wild dice. You can always bump a double to a triple. And besides give them both barrels, every other triple doesn't care what the value is.
Right. Is, tangle them up.
Which is really big.
Secrets and They Will Break do care about the value. Yeah. Because the value for secrets is roll a dice, add the value of the ability to the roll on a 7+. You discard.
I said it's like less required, though. Like, besides like triple ones, you're going to have a good time most of the time. So that does help the warband quite a bit.
Right. And I mean, at the very least, you're just like, you know, because you have so many triples, like, oh, okay, I'm just going to use the double for POC turn one, or I'll use a double for a rush to get set up somewhere. And then I'm just going to bank. And then I have a chance of having two triples next turn. And then that's when you start playing. I'm going to, you know, favor that. And it's yet again, it's like another high skill cap thing. I don't foresee a lot of people doing like every one of these models that you're looking at, minus the stupid Griffhound. Have really excellent triples. You start right at the bottom right there. Lissa Ravenia, the thief. She's 75 points with fly. She has 4 move, 3 toughness, 15 wounds for 75. I'll take that all day. 3-inch range. Mm-hmm. You're not really fighting with her. Her triple is just flat out reduce somebody's attack profile by 2. Targeting like a big boy. Like, you target a big boy like that, FOMO, an Achillean King, an Annie Prime, any of these, and all of a sudden you're hitting at 1 or 2 dice. Your killing output, which you spent all that money for, is just lowered insanely.
Yeah.
And she, yet again, fly on a 75-point model, dip her out, get her up somewhere else. Like, she's good to go. It's really just a phenomenal deal. Robot Grandma, Mistress Varentia, as a
one thing for Alyssa, by the way, if you paint her white, you can pretend she's the Night Haunter pretty good. So I can feel a little better at that flyer remark.
Night Haunter is so good.
If you're really into ghosts.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, but the Mistress, to your point, like, 100 points, 15 wounds, like, 3 toughness, like, not the toughest person on the block, can't get that heal reaction, which is pretty big, right? Same with Alyssa, can't get the heal reaction. Kind of average in melee, 3-3-2-4, it's not bad. Kind of got a sweet ranged attack at 8 inches for 1-4-3-6. But she kind of continues to fit into the theme of, like, really strong controlling abilities and just kind of pot shots that you're going to keep your distance, try to shoot them down, weaken them from a range, and then bring in your big boys to finish it. So just it's a very unique piece at 8-1-4-3-6, in my opinion.
Man, I just feel like looking at her stuff too, I really feel like these guys would love Fight for Profit coming to hang out.
There's this dude named Company Captain for 90 points that seems he'd have a great time with the rest of their triples.
Yeah, just, I mean, that's the other thing, I guess, you are competing for those triples, but, like, just the utility that you get out of it, and, like, if you imagine, like, Fight for Profit, again, the dream turn where you're getting two triples in the same turn, if you can pop that crit ability and you're getting Fight for Profit as well, the potential for spikes in that, or at least just getting one of those dice to be a crit with some of these, is it can get kind of nasty.
Yeah. Hard thing with Fight for Profit, though, is like you have a war band that's already so hungry for triples.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and now you're throwing in this. Yeah, it would fit really well.
You're sabotaging
everything else you can do on the board.
But most of the stuff is situational, though, right? Like if you're thinking about, you know, you're really trying to pick and choose when you're picking these things. So I'm fine having a 90-point model that's got a decent defensive profile that can hang out and shoot if he's not doing anything else. And then if I do need it, I can pop the offensive stuff. If I need if I need to nerf a Titan, guess what? Got that coming at you too with the low 75-point gal too. So I think it doesn't play the way that Fight for Profit normally does, where it's like spam it, click it every time. We're just tapping that button, waiting for the cooldown to let you pop it again. I still think it's valuable, even though it's competing within the warband, because you're already needing to make the right decisions with this warband. It just gives you that additional option.
If you could squeeze it in, because like my one issue is this warband isn't a warband that's going to go onto a tabletop 90% of the time and just blow the other guy off the board. That's really just not what the warband's going to play, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be really good at picking off one piece or two pieces here and there that they really want to target. But then it comes down to the control aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not to skip Armand, but just to go up to, like, the Valius, for example, right?
Yep.
4, 6, and 30, and then has an crazy ability that makes them basically impossible to kill.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
That guy by himself could sit there and take a FOMO to the face and be like, yeah, this is cool. Whatever.
You know what he can't really take to the face is a nice little bone hacker running up with his saw, pop that ability and saw his knees off.
But like my point comes ability down to burn. Like you're not really trying to burn someone off the table 90% of the time with this team, right? You're trying to control the pieces you don't want to deal with and then kill the pieces you do. And I think people would rather be using their triples on those rather than being like, well, you know, I hope to the dice gods here that 8-inch 1/4, 3/6 is enough to kill what I want to kill. I mean, if you're going to play that style, might as well just go to the masters of it and play KO.
I think, Kyle, a really, really good point right there, which is given the fact that they have a lot of ranged options here, I think people are like, oh, I'm going to play them ranged. I don't want to get them in combat. I don't want to do those types of things, right? But I think that you've got to realize that this is a control faction first and foremost, right, that has a nice ranged component to it.
Yeah, it's and you have to, like, look them up to the big boys, too. Right. So like you have to say, like, what are we missing? What do we want? We have some range projection. We have average speed. So maybe we need a speed piece. Right. OK, we need an anvil. We need something. You have Valius who just on the triple reduces hit and crit damage by value of the dice. So you have a 666. We're in magical Christmas land right now. Right. I got a 666. He goes up to a FOMO and he's like, I really like your 1/2 damage profile against me. Thank you for spending these points while I sit here and show you my big Stormcast, like, peepee. And that's it. And that's it. You walk away from the table and it's awesome because he controls space by saying you don't have to cast it on somebody. It's anybody targeting him is reduced. I believe that's what it is. You could double check that.
And he's super deadly, by the way, at 4 attacks.
4, 5, 3, 5 is he's nothing to scoff at.
That's almost like, annihilated prime, right?
Anybody that hits him.
6, 3, 5, he's just a super tank. Like, he just doesn't get shifted off a point. So then it's like you ignore him, and if you ignore him, he's just throwing 4, 5, 3, 5 at you so you can onslaught if you have a double, and then all of a sudden it's 5, 5, 3, 5. That's wild, dog. That's such a good stat line profile. Like, so, like, what's the other profile for 200? It's an Annie Prime, right? 2-inch reach, 25 HP,
more,
6 strength.
You got more
utility
in the abilities, but you're really lacking in the wounds. You're 5 wounds down.
So that's where, like, we were talking before, like, all these new warbands have such amazing play potential, but because of the old things that are really awesome, Iron Jaws, although we are not vulnerable to you messing with this warband, minus the dogs, it's pretty sick. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, IJ, OBR, Tyrants really don't care about a lot of things, like ogres don't. And then you have stuff like, you know, Chaos still can shoot you off a table because their range is better than your range minus POC. You still have a lot of things that you have to, like, have to take an account for. And I think once, like, we hopefully go into a new edition or get a points release that we were, like, waiting for in January, we know it's not coming now. Things like this will be able to
There's
shine.
Like three people waiting for it. You hitched your wagon to that idea and you're like, there's no way they won't do it. I was like, Rob,
bro. I got to be the forever optimist. Now I got to be my own victim of heartbreak. So,
well,
I mean, what do you want,
like,
from me?
If you're going to play a warband, play to its strengths. Don't try to make it another version of something else.
You're absolutely
most
right.
Times it's not going to be any better.
Unless you're cities. And then you just kind of copycat things.
I still stand by it. I think that adding offensive threat utility in the warband, its strength is utility, right? It's able to adapt to whatever the situation is. Sometimes you do need to kill, so I think it's still a viable option. But I totally get what you guys are saying and agree with 100%. It. Like, it's got ton of really, really strong different pieces that you don't need. It's not something you do every time, but, like, you have to have a plan for when you need to kill things.
I think like a speed piece is what it wants, but, like, you need something.
Pixie, honestly.
Kixie fits
defensive.
Awesome.
It's another triple. Bring something from the Soulsworn, which is the double.
Yeah.
Get the free move.
Extra move.
Yeah, there you go.
Good use for your double. 6-inch bubble around them. Throw them
it's
around the board.
It's almost like we talked about that.
It's crazy, right?
No, it's not bad.
We did skip Kallus there, by the way, which is my personal favorite.
Oh, Kallus is my favorite
model,
dude,
out of everyone on this team.
Yeah.
It's just got a crazy range profile of 8 inches, no minimum, 3-4-2-3, which you're like, yeah, I mean, 2-3 damage is not amazing, but that's 6 shots, and then it's got the triple just to do it again. So it's like, all right, on a triple, I'm basically just rampaging around, shooting like crazy. If you wanted to buff him for strength on that range attack, 20 points, right?
Yeah, 150 isn't bad.
He's not a bad recipient for crit either, going to 2-4. With that many attacks, you're probably going to pop a crit here and there.
Can't buff the crit on the range.
Yeah, only the melee. It's so, man, I get so mad every time I remember that. Because I'm like, I want Kindlefinger to be 5-1-1-2 every time. I can't do it.
Pete, what's your takeaway on most of this? Because I know, like, you're more traditional in the sense of, like, competitive play of, like, power.
There's no gets, so they're trash.
Yeah, he's like, there's a lack of small green guys. This is shit, so.
So it's, well, here's the thing, right, is, like, I love having too many abilities. Like, that's something I love in war bands, is I like having a lot of options. And I also like the ability to control. Messing around with abilities, I think, is a huge part of the game where, like, yeah, some guys focus on 2 or 3 and that's their shtick. And that works great. That's a viable strategy. But I love the idea of being able to bring a lot of different possibilities to a table, because you can really mess with your opponent that way. And this warband can do that. And what's beautiful about it is you can set up multiple things where your opponent is going to get stuck going like, well, if I deal with this piece, he's going to do this. And if I do this, he's going to do this. Like, you have so much counterplay with it. And that's what makes it interesting to me. Now, I'm not really looking at this from a high competitive standpoint. I'm more just thrilled that I'm going to have my casual home Witch Hunter warband.
Yeah,
but so cool. What's cool though is because the points are kind of funky, but the positive on that is it really allows a lot of creativity going, like, if I was going to bring one ally in, like, how's it going to gear to my play style? Like, Mike talking about, I like that fight for profit where me, I'm just going to slide in a battle priest and be at my higher model count, and I've got exactly a very thematic warband that's going to do exactly what I want it to do. But there's a lot of approaches to that, and that's what's, I think, going to be really exciting about this warband, is there's going to be a lot of creativity in how to play it.
I think that's very accurate, because you've got a very utility warband here, which means that you can bring in a defensive guy, a tank if you need to. You can bring in an offensive guy. You can bring in another utility piece that moves them around maybe a little bit better or something like that. I mean, you can bring these other things in, and it almost always complements them because they're not necessarily solely offense or defense, or, you know, like, they're kind of a Swiss Army knife, which on its own doesn't hold up to a giant buck knife. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. If you bring in some other things, like, all of a sudden, like, it's doing things that it can't, you know, the buck knife can't do, type of thing.
I feel like
you can replace it with the upgraded version of that in some capacity too, right? So, like, if you want to switch one out, you can make it a bigger version of, you don't necessarily get the same ability, but, like, I do feel like they've got kind of clearly defined roles within the warband, because each of them only has their specific ability. So you can, you know, look to just, like I said, upgrade a single piece with an ally if you really wanted to.
I mean, it always comes down to the mission pack, but I would also say a lot of meta teams right now kind of follow, like, two big dudes and a bunch of chaff, right? And when you have the Swiss Army knife that doesn't really rely on two guys and the rest of it's control, and you're using those triples to control one or two of those big guys, it sets you up to be in a really good position to play strong and to win, right? But to what Rob was saying earlier, it's going to be a really high skill cap because of that. Like, you're not going to be able to go in, play something like, I personally love Flame Seekers, and all you need is doubles and just use the double to make every, you know, miss a crit. Great. Super easy. Fun to play. Don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But same time, it's very limiting. This team's going to be able to go in there, go up against, like, any team in a kind of take-all-comers list and have something that's going to help them win.
Well, so, something interesting, to think about, because I'm a big fan of 4-threat lists. And you're going to see a lot with this, No, follow me here, right?
So, I got like, 7 threats on my list. Every single one of them is a goblin.
Have you never heard Pete talk about this before?
No, no, Pete's 100% right. It's just so.
I was gonna say, this is like a Pete staple.
This is a Pete staple.
He's 1,000% right. So anybody who wants to get better, please listen to what he has to say.
I mean, his name is Peter Four Threat American Cat. Merson Cabbage. American Cabbage.
Merkin Cat. Right.
The Saint 16 is what you get when you square four threats.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Makes sense.
Four threats squared.
Mm-hmm. It's just math.
But the beauty of that, though, is you're going to have four or five threats in the style list. And if you're able to shut down one of those big pieces, you can remove a lot of chaff that way.
Yeah.
So, you can really change the activation game so quickly by playing that way. And that I think this warband's going to lend itself to that.
Yeah, I think you guys are right that we're going to see people being like, oh, my gosh, a witch hunter thing. And they're going to come out not having like a lot of experience with Warcry, and they're just gonna like literally trip out of the gate because it's not easy to know. Like, it's not easy to see where the gems are in this and understand the situation that you have on the table and which levers to pull to make it work right.
They feel really like very puzzle oriented. If you enjoy solving puzzles like Sudokus, like, you know, it's a super simple example, but if that is how you enjoy spending your time, I think this is a warband you'll really enjoy because you're constantly looking at all of the different options and figuring out more so, I think, than you would with just a typical warband.
Now, if you guys were making a list of just Order of Azir, right? And maybe an ally here or there or something like that, but you basically have two heroes in here. You have Hanover Toll, and then you have Haxel Hexbane. You got to take one of them. Or do you take both of them, or do you take one of them, and which one do you take?
I know Rob and I talked about this. The only difference between Haskell and Hanover is Hanover's got one more crit, but Haskell has one more toughness. And honestly, with this warband and its reaction, you want that toughness, right? To be able to heal, take less damage, exactly the same amount of points. Yeah, 2-4 versus 2-5. 2-5 feels good. But quite frankly, I'd rather stay alive.
He has the triple is huge for that crit damage, too, though, because it's the
melee only, though. Fighter. It's melee
yeah,
only.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. So that's a fair point. And if you're going to be in melee, you're going to be really missing that extra toughness for sure.
So Haskell, 100%.
Yep. I think Toll lends itself to maybe we ditch some of our dudes and I throw that triple out on some big allies that want to swing hard. Because a lot of this warband has innately that ranged attacks, which you're looking to not be in combat, pepper them a little bit, move away, you know, go do something else, disrupt. But if you're going to spend a triple and be like, I'm critting you on fives, including myself. So he's throwing four dice, 2-5, pretty sick. Valius is hitting 3-5, pretty sick. And then if you had like another like pretty good melee fighter or something that has some good value, think Arcanaut Admiral, Endrin Master, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you're blasting stuff at a higher rate, which is pretty cool. But I think I'm going to say 8 out of 10 times you're going to take Hexbane, you're going to take Haskell.
I think I'd only do it 4 out of 5. I wouldn't go the full 8 out of 10. I would just 4 out of 5.
How about 17 out of 20? Would we compromise there?
Yeah.
Peter, you said two. Both. You want to take both, Pete?
I'm taking both. Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Is it the hats?
Well, yes, because it's the hats.
That's fair.
Again, we're talking about they're a great stat block for 125. So if I'm going to already be messing around in a mid-range game, I'm committing to it. So, and again, part of that is the thematic side of it is I want that Witch Hunter warband. So yes, I'm going to run both of them. But I think there's a lot of play in that. Again, 125 for what they're bringing to the table, I think is excellent. So I'm going to lean into it.
Which is funny because normally I look at a 125 fighter and like 90% of the time I'm like, ugh, move on. You know, because like you look at those points and you're just like, yeah, the stat block isn't even worth it. You know, but these are kind of the
20 wounds I do feel like goes a long way though. You get 20 wounds for 125 points, I think is probably above average. You're probably usually looking closer to 15.
It's better bespoke leaders, that's what it is.
My only downside to bringing both is that these warbands offer so many other really fun options that I feel like I'll be struggling for points if I bring both. That's my only qualm against it. It's like, I want to bring both, by the way, too, Peter. Like, I love them both. They're awesome models. I want to run both because, as you said, they're looking awesome. But when you're also spending, you know, 220 for Valius, for 5 points more, you get Armin Kallus, right? And then, of course, Quiet Pock, which you're going to want to run because it's just an amazing range profile. Suddenly, I'm struggling at that 125-point range to hit, you know, the 8-9 models that I want to be at with this Warband. Because this Warband is not going to want to sit at 7. Like, you're not going to have a good time.
I had to really think about it for a while because I settled on a 9-model Warband with it.
I have 2 9 models. So you could go with both of them. You can have that list, which I just the readers or the viewers or listeners can't see it, but it would be both, and you'd have the Battle Priest with it, right? So that way you'd have still Valius, you'd have Quiet Pack, you have all them.
Quiet Pack.
Oh man, dude, I'm hanging out with too many little kids. And then I have another one that's like 1,000 points with one of the leaders and the KO guy. What's their name? Shout out to Milk Thief Clint, a dude who is a dev on a game, Ember Knights, which is an awesome indie like Hades roguelite, awesome game. Definitely try it out. But he and I were shooting the poop, and we're like, what can we do with this? And we're like, oh man, let's just throw in the little 90-point model from KO, I believe, which is the company captain, and then it slots right in there, even 1,000 points. All of a sudden, you're getting, you know, like the value, another triple to the arsenal. It's making grandma better. It's making everybody on a point better. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you have just like another, you know, tool in the thing. And they're also not bad for 90 points of what value you're getting. So like now we're seeing like, you know, Kyle posts another list too with Bridget Axwald. So I'm going to ignore it. And then, what's it called?
The Stormcast, Pock, like kind of focusing more on like some of the stronger range profiles, and leaving 50 points for blessings at the end, because 50 points of blessing of this team can go like a really long way. If you want to stack those triples, cool, grab the 40 points, get that extra wild dice. Mm-hmm. You want to throw crit on a whole bunch of people, you could do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, 25, 30 points for an extra attack on somebody could even be, you know, breaking, like the keeper, right? Having him go to 5-5-3-5 for 30 points and still have 20 points left over for strength on Pock. I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the same point value as taking both of those leaders too. You can bring Kixi Taka in right now. You're solidifying your slow movement. You're getting that triple buff for more utility and stuff like that. 2-3-3-6, 6-inch, you know, wizard bolt, classic old school, bad wizard, not bad, but like the old, you know, only 3 strength.
Generic,
3-6
classic,
there we go. Retro wizard bolt. So, you know, I think that's another just, yeah, if you're thinking about taking both, what do you need? And that's what you're always building for, right? It's going to be pack dependent. It's going to be what the rest of the warband is doing. What are your holes? How are you shoring them up? Or are you overcommitting to a certain playstyle to overwhelm from that playstyle? And, you know, it's just you guys say that you feel like it's limited. I feel like there's a ton of really cool options in here.
I'm excited.
I think there's a ceiling.
I'd agree with that.
You know what I mean? So, but the thing is there's a, like the walls are wide, you know what I mean? Like you've got a lot of options. And so
it's an open floor plan.
Modern design.
It's an open floor plan, but not vaulted ceilings here. So
yeah. I want to make a statement on it. The fact that it's an order warband that is not taking advantage of action economy, like Kalthea, like all these other things that we're accustomed to seeing, like free moves with the questers.
Well, it's reverse, essentially. It's taking advantage of pulling action economy away from your opponent functionally is what all those
are doing. Right. You're gaining tempo by them losing it, like losing resources. And I think that's
in a fun way or an interesting way, right? I think we had a talk about it recently, like Salty was in and a couple other people, but like nets feel bad whenever you get netted. It's just like most of the time you're getting netted early and that model's not fighting anything, and it just feels not fun. But what they're doing here is like, shut up, Kyle. You play
Kyle.
Who you are. But like, it's not a satisfying, I think, for the person that's on the other side of it. It can be a real feel bad experience. But this control style that they've created is a lot more interactive, and it isn't just a switch that you turn on and off for a model potentially. There's still play against it. There's still something you can do with the models. However, you know, you are pulling things away from them, which I like the development that they've gone with Flesh Eater Courts and with these guys to make it into control is becoming more interesting as a play style and not strictly, well, you just don't get that.
I really, like, to your point, though, like, I would say there's only one ability on this list I can see people raging about, and that's going to be Secrets from the Shadows.
Yep,
the first time someone has their quad six ripped away from them, and they're just like, wow, all the cool abilities my warband can do, I'm just not allowed to use wild dice anymore, I guess. Yep. Like,
yeah. You're going to play against... Yeah. I'm sorry, Kyle.
No, that was it. It's just people are going to feel bad about that. Because
you're going to play against the new player, right? Yeah. And you're going to show up, and they're going to be like, haha, I'm bringing my Askergen True Blades, and then you're like... They're like, oh, I got this big juicy quad.
I watched this great video about Equestria Soulsworn. I'm going to teleport first round.
Right. And then all of a sudden you have initiative and you're like, and that's gone. And they're just like, and then they're seeing the helicopters come over. And the Vietnam music's playing every time. They're thinking about like, what if I make a quad?
And that's, like, and that's how 40K players are made.
Yeah,
and that's how 40K players are made.
And this is why somebody plays 14 Graveguard.
Yeah,
like, I mean, the one downside, like her stat profile isn't amazing, right? For when you bring her, but man, if that ability goes off at the right time, it's gonna hurt some
that's
people
breaking.
In some serious ways.
That's Bane versus Batman backbreaking.
Think about how many times somebody rolls a four singles and a double, and they just bank it, and then you're like, guess what? You don't even get that double. You're just like, what?
Like, you get nothing.
Cool. You don't even get to play. So. I hope you like no abilities, because that's what this game is. You're just like
we're
it's kind of
raw
it's,
cry. Nothing. It's, just pure stats,
step,
baby.
Step we have two down. Activations, and that's it. And I think it's like a really again, like to reiterate on every one of you guys, the design space is phenomenal. We are entering a really good, like, we, I know this
they've
is
been doing
not,
a great job. They've been doing
not,
a really good job.
Right. They are. This is not KO level. This is not high competition S tier level.
And there's
but
nothing
why would I,
as a player in here, right?
Right. This is not Nurgle. Do you like your 17 Nurgle demons with this? Like, this isn't that. And I think I'm so happy to head into this direction because I'd rather try playing and winning and pushing my skill as a pilot with something that's middle of the road. And it's not the most competitive thing to do, but like, I'd rather try and play and have fun with this. Like, we already know what's good. Let's develop and push forward to find more fun things. And what you said before, Justin, with the TTS League, shout out to ourselves for running TTS League. We did it. That's us. If you like play in that and there's like, oh, I don't have to paint these guys up. I don't have to pay $75 for the box when they come out. You know, our wonderful mods who do this slave work. I mean, do this volunteer work for free, you know, toss them some money. And then, we get to try it out at the comfort of our own home. And then you get to start pushing this and seeing this and developing that. And I think that's like the cool part about it.
Go ahead, Kyle. Go ahead.
Warcry gets like criticism sometimes from being like too simple of a game sometimes, like especially from like some kill team players to talk to. They're like, oh, it's not as like precise, it's not as tactical, right? And that's because we didn't have a huge abundance of high skill cap teams, right? We had a bunch of teams that's just like, yeah, I'm gonna go smork, go to the face, and that's it. We're gonna just smash each other apart, right? But like having high skill cap teams now, you can challenge someone in the sense of like, oh, you don't think this is a tough game? Bring this warband while they have a smork team and show like how tactical this game can actually become.
Right.
And it kind of invites new crowd to come play Warcry in a much different environment.
So what I think is interesting about the design elements that are coming out right now is, to me, it's showing actually what the next edition of Warcry is going to look like.
Yeah.
So this is what happens. This is what happens with Age of Sigmar, right? You get those like late game books that you're like, oh, these are interesting mechanics, and it turns out like that's like the base mechanics for the next edition, right? So we're starting to see like these types of things pop up, which tells me that like we're going to probably get away from things like Graveguard that are just like stupidly pointed and stuff like that. You know, we're going to get away from, we're going to get away from things like KO that are just like only gun line and can like totally do something. Like they're going to probably give them the Flesh Eater Quartz treatment, which is like, we're going to take some of your stuff away, but we're going to give you some more interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like a sideways shift, but in a good way to where it's like, okay, now this warband is interesting. It's not just like a one trick pony. And, you know, it's like, if you don't play it that way, then you're never going to do good with that faction. And so I hope, like, so again, fingers crossed. I saw you guys doing it. Like,
I was to get rid of Graveguard specifically.
Yeah, I know. I totally. Okay.
Just to be clear.
But like, to me, like, this and is Plague what, Bears could go away too.
Yeah. But this is the shift that I'm kind of feeling and seeing is we're getting away, like, even the compendium, you know, I call them compendium because that's what they call them in Kill Team. But, you know, the AOS
that's
models.
What it was called in Warcry 2. It was.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Even the compendium warbands, like, need these updates that I think are coming to them. And it's going to make them more interesting. And then all of a sudden we're going to be, I think, tactically on par with Kill Team easily. You know, like, easily on par with them from a tactical level.
And so. The fact that, like, we all look at this, you know, we've pretty much all come at this faction from completely different sides and found something that we liked and not agreed on it, I think is fantastic because we're all pretty educated players here, right? We all think about Warcry all day long. And the fact that we do not agree on everything that is right to do in this warband is a great sign for the game because it means everything is kind of viable. It's just play style. You have the options to play the game the way that you want to play the game, which is an incredible space to be in. And unfortunately, in the compendium, when they release it for 2.0, there was a lot of copy paste. There was a lot of really uninteresting stuff in there. But, you know, it was just, did you like fighting? Fight a bit better. And then not in an interesting way, you know, and away from that.
Why play that when you could just play this? It's already max level, which is fine. You know what? Like, I get it. If you're going through like the competitive ropes and you really want to just say, hey, I'm going to take what's best and learn it, like, completely do it, dude. Do it. Go big.
Well, I think Warcry needed to figure out that it can be competitive. I think the designers of the game came out thinking like, oh, this is just going to be a narrative, fun, drink beer, play in the garage kind of game. And then
Sweatlords back here were just like, what are we going to do to get the best?
Exactly.
Peter's like, I got 17 threats.
So I think that they realize that, hey, look, there's something there that we can do if we design this properly, right?
Yeah, but a competitive side of a game drives the casual side of the game. You see that 100%. In 40K too, where 100%. These top tier competitive lists drive people to buy the models. Play the Friday Night Magic or the Friday Night Warhammer. Yeah. Same thing for Warcry. You have the most competitive lists are going to drive sales. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Absolutely. And speaking of competition, so we're going to leave the Order of Azir Warband where it's at. Speaking of competition, I want to mention one other thing. Kallus and Tolt do have the Cursed City rules, which is kind of awesome. It's actually really awesome. Like,
I love supporting that game.
And you're just like, I mean, they didn't support it, and then they supported it badly.
They didn't release it. They were like, you want this game? You kind of sort of can't have it. And then they were like, just kidding. You spent a lot of money to get it secondary. You can have it for MSRP now.
Yeah. So,
you want expansions with no models? Here's a box. Do you like boxes? Give it to your cat.
I'm the nerd. That was one of two people outside my Games Workshop day it was released to get an actual box the day it came out.
Again, Kyle's the best player. Please excuse. He's got some serious mental things going on.
No, I mean, listen, I got that box and I loved it. Like, it's a fun game. I wish they would have supported it like they did with the Blackstone Fortress, right? Like, I mean, had they supported like that, it would have been amazing, but they just kind of ran out of steam with it. But anyway, so there are rules for that on Warhammer community. So, like, that's just another reason for me to get that box, right, of models. So, anyway.
The Cursed City for, like, the D&D version of Warhammer is coming out in April. So you can probably play Lyssa in that as well, which would be really nice.
Yep. All right, let's talk about where did I do this? I had it up.
Hold on.
And this is just for the show, guys.
Oh, Justin, I'm with you. People, I get tab shamed all the time. I can't even read what they are. I got to click through to see what's still open.
I know, right?
Disgusting. 100%. Barbarians.
I keep multiple windows just so I can have more tabs.
100%.
I've never closed a tab in my life.
Uncouth.
Barbarians. I only close it when my computer forces me to restart, because it's like, yep. I can't function
anymore. And
guess anymore.
What? History? Go yeah. right in, restore window, cast. Baby, get them all back.
All right, so what we're looking at right here is a new matchmaking competition that came out. Warhammer World is hosting an event coming up. I don't think they've had it yet, right? It's coming up?
No, this is in June.
Yeah.
This is in June, yeah. So it is the Ferocious Gnarlwood 2. So they came out last year with the Gnarlwood pack. Which I don't know. I had mixed. There was a lot of mixed reviews of the Gnarlwood pack from last year.
The Rumble pack.
The Rumble pack.
Yeah. It eats cow poop.
Yeah. Exactly. It's great. Some people liked it. Some people liked it, but I think it had its limitations.
It's great for exploring that design space specifically. It's great for pulling one piece out and wanting to use that in a more balanced overall pack.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Or just exploring, you know, 15 Graveguard.
Yeah, right, exactly. So what it did is it basically said, so I kind of look at this, and maybe I'm wrong in doing this, and you guys can make fun of me or whatever, but I kind of see these, like, Gnarlwood event packs that Warhammer World does as sort of the General's Handbook of Warcry. Okay?
No, it's the closest thing we got to that. It's the closest 100%. Thing we got to set tournament pack.
Exactly, and it also is a way of saying, like, hey, for our next year, we're really interested in a lot of chaff models. Or for our next year, we're very interested in a lot of elite models. And so you're going to start seeing, like, some of those design elements coming out, supporting that style of tournament, that sort of pack, right? Yeah. And so it's kind of like the same thing of, like, oh, this year's General Handbook and Age of Sigmar is focused on the battle line models. So you're going to have a lot of battle line, you know, and or monsters is a thing or whatever, right? So with that said, we started out 2019 with, you know, edition 1.0 of Warcry, and we got our missions that were basically in the core rule book. And they were your basic missions. You had Reaper, you had Ley Lines, you had Hidden Vault. We had just kind of some basic missions in there. And as, like, the Tome of Champions came out, you started to get more narrative ones, but you didn't really get a lot of tournament ones, right? So we have had these missions sort of evolving over time. Dude, you guys are typing, and I'm barely keeping up.
So, I'm sorry. This is our thought process. There's like a whole section of this, and then, like, trying to take notes on what you're saying, and then making fun of somebody in the.
So, my point that I was making is that we started out with some very basic missions that were in that core rulebook, and it was enough to get you playing the game. And now we have evolved to the Gnarlwood 2 pack, which we'll dive in here in a second. Which are way more complicated, but it offers a lot of different options. So what are your guys' thoughts on sort of the evolution of these missions that we have come from 1.0 to, I guess we're in 2.5 right now, is what I would say.
Pete, do it. Get in there.
We got to hear you, Pete.
See, I feel like I'm, like, the least.
All right, that's enough, Peter. No,
yeah, that's enough. That's enough. Yeah, I feel like I'm the least qualified to go over this, but it's like, for me, I always say, like, I love different tournaments because you're going to get different experiences at each one, and I like the fact that they have really been putting some thought into how they're approaching the game through the mission packs, because I think they're finally getting that. That's what we constantly preach, right? Is will build to the mission pack. I mean, that's why I think Adepticon is, like, a real, like, shot in the dark right now, is because nobody knows the mission pack.
Yeah, so, yeah, four of 30 missions total. 4 out of 30 missions we'll play.
Get in there.
Yeah.
But it's like,
have fun.
But it's cool, right? Because it's very clear that they're trying. And I think succeeding. I mean, if Rumble Pack is our base, right? I think they're succeeding in the more recent packs. Like, you're still getting some kind of funky ones going in there, but there's been some really solid missions that have come out on some very fun ones for sure. Which I'm sure, like, Rob, who plays so much TTS, could definitely, you know, shoot through some of those as well. But, like, for me, it's just more of the excitement that, like, yes, they're involved, they're looking at things, and we're yeah. kind of getting a progression from it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest point, right? Is like somebody's paying attention somewhere, and somebody's learning from their mistakes somewhere. Because where Rumble Pack was really good in a vacuum, had secondary loose secondaries, it was ultimately up to a TO or the fate of being a horrible random pairing of something. And last ACO, Atlantic City Open for Frontline, was a two-day Rumble Pack event, and we got to explore the whole Rumble Pack. And like what Peter mentioned before, like it just favored high numbers, or if you had a way to cheat out, like you mess in. So what this really... And to what you said, excuse me, to what you said before, it is complicated. So there is a little bit more convolution. I don't think it is as new player friendly as the other setup. Here's your points, go. But I do think from a competitive standpoint, this is something that's much more feasible. Dan at the Salty Sea said he's been testing these a lot out in person, and he said it has one of the best missions he's ever played, one of the worst missions he's ever played, and then the rest are just pretty decent good missions that are fill in. So it's up to the TO to be like, hey, we have four or five rounds. We already know this one is bad. Just toss it away. They have secondaries baked in. They have twists baked in. Mm-hmm. They have comeback mechanics. They promote a healthy blend of objective versus kill. And I think that, again, to what you and Peter are both saying, somebody's listening. We're evolving the game. And we're progressing forward with it. They are so involved to go through. Like, they are overly – we're starting to do the hold one, hold two, hold more, or kill
those
one,
aren't all
kill
of them,
two.
Right? That hold one, hold two, hold more than your opponent is in it.
That is in – that's in the white dwarf one.
Okay, they didn't have it in all these?
They're in a lot of these ones, too.
It's definitely in a good chunk of them.
You control any objective. You control two more. You control more, right?
Hold one, hold two, more.
I have four, like, major things that I look through this, so – one, just talking about the hold two, hold more. I hate that mechanic. The fact that if I hold two and more, because like this is what happens. Like when it comes down to any objective mission, right? Anyone with less models tends to not do as well, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to come back from the fact that not only my opponent holds two, which is probably more than I'm holding, but holding more also just gets more. So you're promoting kind of a win more attitude. If they just drop the hold more, this mission would be a lot more balanced, right? Hold one, hold two, cool. Because then it's a little bit more fair to those low model warbands. My biggest
I'm going to counter that real quick. I love the hold one, hold two, hold more. Like, I'm a huge fan of it. But you have to have the right amount of objectives. If you've got eight objectives on the board and you're playing like an elite warband versus like, you know, the skeletons, you're going to get wrecked in that game, right?
This
and so if
this is where I disagree again, though, because what will happen is you have less objectives, right? Uh-huh. I could just send my extra bodies to contest your objective. Mm-hmm. Then I usually hold one, possibly two and more. So no matter what, like, you're punishing the team just for having less bodies because, sure, less objectives, but now I can contest them and to continue to get that early win more lead, which just, to me, is not a feel-good thing for most people to be like, I'm just going to be on the back foot starting off this game just because I have less models and there's nothing I can do about
it. So, like, look at this setup right here. I think this is a perfect example of a good hold one, hold two, hold more. Because
I would agree with that, Justin. I agree with Kyle, but I also agree, Justin, I think this is a good example of how to apply it.
Yeah, because you're first off, you have to get to these objectives, right? And so you're forced to make decisions with your warbands of where you want to go, what you want to do. You can commit, you can, you know, and secure thing and then move out after that if you need to. I think if you have them clumped up, it's really bad for hold one, hold two, hold more, right? I think they need to be spread out. I think that you need to have the deployments in the right spots to have it be a good mission. But I think with four, for example, even with an elite warband, you can lock down two objectives in the first round.
To me, you're going to get stuck with one here because that top left one blue is going to take, say they're the one with two deployments of four. The other person has a deployment of, say, three and two. We'll say it's an extreme example. Sure, they're going to hold the one between them. But I only need one person on the top left, and I'm going to have seven other models to get to the other two objectives. So I'm going to most likely grab one of those from you, have one, have two, have more, and you're going to have a start of the game of 3-1, and there's, as I said, not much you can play around that. It's very difficult to do a ton of damage on an early round to stop people. So that's my one issue with like these kind of warbands. It doesn't like someone said to me once, like, this game is designed to be able to play three models and play 15. There needs to be some sort of better balance between that when it comes down to
divisions. That sounds like something I say, actually.
Well, I mean, people, like, they've already made some good changes to objectives, right? One of the things they made in here was a model cannot hold more than one objective.
Nope, stop. Don't start. Don't you
that's
dare.
That's a good, hey, Kyle, I'm with you.
There it is.
That is awesome, right? But I think
that's like the only, that's such a big way that elite warbands can fight off hordes, though.
But
like,
this is where
the fact that it's like, I can count for two, like, and block you out from taking two with your 17 models and then fight and kill.
I think,
but this is where they needed to go farther. Like, we already have missions where it says, like, whoever has the most, say, like, model value points in the middle controls it. Use the same thing when it comes down to objectives. Either go by wounds or go by points. Yeah. Then those elite warbands where they have one model, it's 20 wounds, 200 points, doesn't get outdone by two dinky little skeletons that are standing there that's going to eliminate the next turn, right?
And like, by the way, we already know what that cutoff is. We already know what it is. It's the same for the blessings. It's 25 points.
22.
Right.
22 points. 22. Thank you. Yeah, 22 points. So,
but it just it gives a cutoff, better dynamic, right? From like that standpoint to me is keep pushing like what holding an objective means rather than just sheer model count, and you'll eliminate a huge part of what the difference is between big warbands and smaller warbands, because big warbands already have an advantage just on action economy. Do we need to give them more of an advantage just by having more bodies on an objective, or make them work for it a little bit by having to dedicate those bodies to hold an objective?
I think overall, I felt this pack, that specific piece of it, I thought that was a massive overcorrection from the White Dwarf missions that they did, where they were like, let's put objectives that are 6 inches apart and you're having five models that can double cap on it, which was, it's interesting to have one mission where you can do that. I think it does create an interesting, unique play style, but to have a 6-mission pack where you can do that, what is going on? It's
three
happening
missions,
with everything,
yeah.
Right? Wasn't it 6 total for that pack?
It was 6 total, but 3 of the missions.
Oh, only three of them.
Within that, so
okay.
You can,
yeah,
then you to like hidden vault it, just fight straight out for everything. And sometimes it's cool if like the matchup for the warbands is cool, but there's going to create so many non-games. And I think in a world where we want to create non-games, and I'm proud of you, Kyle, you went from playing with kids to thinking about really good objective values, and that's a really impressive thing for
what
you.
What a growth. What an honor.
You've really come a far way in these last 2 hours.
In these two hours, Kyle, you just
we'll
really
get you off death in no time.
Yeah, dude, we'll be a human one day. But listen, I do think Kyle is 100% correct on that, but I also do think like we should be able to double cap. But like if you're going to double cap, I think having bigger base things like 40 millimeter bases should be able to double cap, not a skeleton, right? Skeletons don't have the staying power. I made the analogy, right? Like where you come to
like wound
size.
I think that's based on
quality.
Objective placement. Like for me, it should be based on objective
that's
placement.
That's an easy fix was like where you're going to put the objectives, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yep. So I don't mind double capping as a concept. I don't care about, right? I think it's fine. Let people do it, but do not allow it to be happening with anything that's on a base size that is smaller than 40 mils just based on where the objective size is.
I mean, you still have issues with oblong bases like a direwolf then, which is
that's fine,
length-wise.
But if you're a mastermind, you thought
I think that makes for interesting warband design.
I have to say, though, the only thing I really absolutely hate about this pack is tournament quests, because I just always forget them
tournament quests.
They need to go away.
Absolutely.
I don't know why it's still in there.
Is it major, minor still in this, or is it 5-3-1?
Yeah, that's just a core principle that is in the main book that they haven't even considered. Justin completely revolutionized it.
Well, I mean, we can talk about that in a second. But what I do want to talk about here is, I mean, you got the primaries, which, again, here is 1, 2 more, right?
Right.
But you've got – what's interesting is you've got secondaries in here and twists that I think
comeback mechanics,
which significantly alters – the competitive nature of these games, because there were games that even at the Nova Open that we had, which I had some comeback mechanics in there, which if you, for example, if you killed the leader, you got a victory point, which kind of helped you with your victory points at the end score, right? These are even more. I mean, these are more baked into the different rounds that you play. That, like, if you, for example, the first this is Mike makes right. The first time an attack action made by a fighter within 3 inches of the target takes an enemy fighter down in a battle round, that fighter is blood gifted for the rest of the battle round, After determining control of objectives in the same battle round, if a blood-gifted fighter is within 1 inch of an objective, their controlling player controls, that player scores 2 victory points. So here, Kyle, is a counter to the 1-2 more that you were talking about, right?
Just like, stick your tongue out while you're saying this.
No. It doesn't. But that's the thing, though. But his whole point prior to that was, like, in turn one, that's most likely not happening.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So
and then he goes to the turn two. I get initiative. I get a lucky kill. My vampire lord killing your, egg rot or something like sure. that. Cool. And then it just gives even more of an advantage, right? Like, yeah. I will have to say is, like, I really do like the secondary mechanic in general uh-huh. because it should, in theory, give those other types of warbands a way to come back, a way to fight back, right? Yeah. To me, like, any mission pack needs to design primaries and secondaries that work in a way where different strategies can win, right? Someone's mm-hmm. hyper-aggressive, they shouldn't just auto-lose on an objective mission. If someone is, like, yeah. very horde and wants to control, they shouldn't auto-lose on a kill mission. So I do right. like this secondary, but yeah. it doesn't it's solve the problem that they're already starting 3-1 down, going to the next round, if I control the objective still, it's 3-1 again. Sure, you get an extra 2 victory points. It goes to 3-3, but you haven't closed the gap at all. Like, you just kind of hold
the whole, that's the whole build of an elite warband, though, right? Like, you're not in objective missions. You know that you're going down early. And I'm making this point, though I agree with you, Kyle, that I actually don't like the mechanic of 1-2 more. But I think, you know, having played a ton of elite warbands that are super smashy, I've played multiple tournaments with just 6 models. That's your plan, is to roll dice, do well, right? And if the dice don't go your way, you're going to lose. Unfortunately, you know, that is just kind of how those warbands are designed. But I think, you know, I don't necessarily dislike it from the standpoint that I dislike it from a different perspective, where I feel like maybe not completely different, but the fact that you are doubling up on points for essentially scoring the same thing feels weird. I don't think that it doesn't have a counterplay later in the game where you're going to try to be getting those objectives back as you're killing them. But I think just usually when you're hitting that second point controlling two, you're also in all likelihood controlling more in a lot of cases. Four objectives makes it a little bit different, but oftentimes they're doing this with 3 objectives. And so you have to be contesting. One of those objectives has to stay contested every single round. Otherwise, you can get this huge runaway mechanic. They have introduced some stuff here that does play catch up, but for me, that's kind of a band-aid from a bad design philosophy in the beginning. Why do we need a band-aid when we've kind of, you know, I don't necessarily feel that catch up mechanics are a good thing for the game, because if I'm winning, why are you just getting stuff for me being better than yeah. you? Right?
1-2 like, more with 1-2 more with 3 is not good.
That's why I have issues
with 3 objectives.
Like even looking at the secondary, not only do you have to kill somebody at the end of that turn, you need to be within 1 inch of an objective you control. Mm-hmm. So you have to kill the model and control the objective and mm-hmm. end your turn in one spot. That is a lot yeah. to happen and guaranteed to have happened mm-hmm. All in the same turn. So, like, never mind that your opponent can get it who's already ahead. You need to meet this super specific criteria versus yeah. something just like, oh, kill a model within 3 inches of a contested objective. Okay, yeah, now he has to risk if I want to hold his objective. I'm going to give him a point every time he kills one of my skeletons or something like that. But it's even more than objective missions when I talk about like trying to balance out a secondary. For example, like even treasure missions, right, where you essentially could just start conga lining treasures away if you have like 18 bodies, whereas the person has 6 and can't even disengage from your 20-point skeleton, right? Mm-hmm. So like what secondary can you give them to make up for that, right? Now, I've seen some really cool ones, right? Like the person like holding the treasure gets like double strength. Yeah, then you just start that elite model starts smashing so much harder than it was before, right? Or if you drop a treasure, you lose points, right? Now mm-hmm. people are unsure when I should pick it up because they can't pick it up and run away because your elite model is going to kill me. So like that's my issue when it comes down to a lot of these missions, is it still rewards warbands that have more models. They don't even get me started on major minor.
I do agree with that too, Kyle. I do think this pack does still lean into hordes. I think you're going to be benefited by bringing more models than fewer.
Cause we're running out of time. I know that yeah. we're going pretty hard, which don't get me wrong. This has been an amazing 2 hours of my life. They added twists that add really crazy mechanics that are meant to be designed with competitive in play, which I think is very fascinating. If a TO says, let's pull the trigger and do it, right? Like, you're looking at brutal encounter for this one. After the initiative phase, each battle round, if one player has fewer points, that player picks an enemy fighter, they make one fewer actions. That is insane. The one you saw from the objective one up top, mm-hmm. if you scroll back up to Mystic Glade,
yep.
Mystic Pizza, great movie. Pulsing Power, before the initiative phase, one person who has fewer victory points, they gain a number of wild dice equal to the difference, and then you discard those at the end of the phase.
That's Order kinda, of Azir, baby! Order of Azir! Yeah.
I'm getting all my triples this turn, and that's a huge momentum swing to say you want to take up. Well, guess what? Next turn, I'm coming in with two triples, or a triple, a double, and a quad, or something crazy, right? Like, and then I'm still taking initiative. You want to give me two extra wild dice so I get three next turn? Cool. And I think that's a really cool comeback mechanic, because the secondary on this saying, like, I have to control this and be within an inch of the center. Is that, if I'm reading that correctly?
Yeah.
Like, and then I have to kill you. So basically it's like, all right, he's got his one. I'm going to leave his one and not go on there because I don't want to give him extra VP to catch up. Mm-hmm. So my horde is going to sit, stay put and go, wait. And then that's it. However, you introduce the twist. All of a sudden, I can leave this point, get crazy aggressive because I got three extra wild dice this round. And now I'm able to clean off your points. Now you're scrambling. So you can't just wait there. You have to do something. And then if you step off, you risk losing it. So I think the twist in conjunction with the secondary makes it super complicated. Not great for new players. Like, I'm thinking about some of the people I have to explain this to when we do our next NJ tournament. And I'm like, this is a lot, but it seems like it could be a lot of fun. Let's see how it plays, because all of a sudden it's like layer upon layer. It's like control one, control two, control more. Got it. I can kill you and defend my point and get extra VP. Got it. So a failed assault on somebody's point is very costly, but then it's also, I get a ton of dice to help me do that. So it's really kind of interesting, and I think it's worthwhile, but yeah, I don't want to say like, yeah, power to the elite smash bands. Give me all these big ogre war bands. Give me these.
But you have to maintain viability though.
You have to maintain viability, because it shouldn't just be, oh man, I counted to 13. I'm going to win this because you just didn't have four or five in a deployment. And I don't want to poo poo on anybody. I don't want to yuck any yums. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody like really just loves playing a bunch of little spooky skeletons. And I don't want to sit there and poopy on the parade, but from a competitive standpoint, like, it's not a great time if most of your missions cater to just you have more bodies, you're gonna win.
So let's take a step back, not just thinking about this pack, but like, let's think about, okay, 6 months from now, 5.5 months from now, it's the Nova Open. I've got to release a tournament pack for that. What kind of design should I be bringing to that? Do we look at how, I mean, we should be looking at how objectives are scored, right? How, I mean, it's basically how objectives are scored. Like, how do you win the scenario? Because it's not just objectives. It's the kill. It's the treasure. It's like, oh, you know, like, we have to look at like the mechanics surrounding that. But do we add the secondaries in there? Do we put twists in there? Like, are those good things for these missions?
These secondaries are baked into it. So no matter, it's not like the Rumble pack where you have the option of secondaries.
Right, 100%.
Secondaries are baked here. But if you're running this pack, why not use a twist in it? Why not give it a little bit more viability to everything and then just let chaos spiral under the sun?
And I think, so the secondary is what we found, right? So I've been doing like mission design and stuff like that on the side, come up with some of my own ones. And so thought a ton about this kind of stuff. The complexity curve that we're kind of seeing with these missions is unfortunately somewhat necessary for finding a balance, or for maintaining viability for more warbands. Might makes right where you're, one of the best missions, it was Dan pulled it into his title pack, where you place five objectives on the board, and then any kill you're contesting on the same objective as the thing you kill, you get a point, and then you get also score objective points. So that I played a three model list with a Chimera and a Myrmidon and a Slaughter Priest versus was a 13 model Soulblight Gravelords warband. It was one of the best games I've ever played because we could both play our own playstyle and it was viable, right? And I think, you know, that unfortunately adding complexity, like that's a really, that is the most elegant example I think that exists of having a mission that can cater to everybody. But I think finding the way to do that, you have to have these more complex ideas because, as you said, Justin, core book, here's a really simple solution or here's a really clear puzzle to solve. You can see the through it once you've got a little bit of experience to know how to get it solved. So, you know, I think if you're thinking about adding these twists, what these do, these catch up, let's kind of functionally call them what they are in this back.
Catch up mechanics.
I think.
Catch up.
They're ketchup mechanics.
Ketchup mechanics.
But they create an interesting, I think the knee jerk a lot of the time is to go like, oh, okay, well, it's just letting my opponent catch up. You can choose to kind of tank turn one and get the benefit of the catch-up mechanic if you think that that's more advantageous to your playstyle, which I think is an interesting choice. I don't personally love the idea that you just get stuff because I outplayed you or had slightly better dice rolls. Mm-hmm. You know, the dice roll averaging is kind of nice, but I don't love it from that side. But I do love that it's not just so simple that, you know, it's just, well, it's always just going to go to the player that's losing. No, I could strategically, you know, take a step back and start losing the first round so that I get this in a later round, which I think is a compelling play style and interesting addition to the game.
Well, and I'll tell you this, that for me, I am interested in implementing the sliding point scale again.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so good.
I really don't like the major minor wins because
horrible.
It's just terrible. Right. But I really like the sliding point scale because I think you do get very much rewarded if you play an excellent game, and a tight game feels like even the loser gets something out of it. Right. So these have to be designed with those victory points in mind. You almost need a mission where you can score victory points high and low for that differential. You know what I mean? And so, but you want to design it as well so that, like, more often than not, your differential is like this. So you got really tight games across the board, right? Mm-hmm. It's very rare that you get a 20-0 game. Very rare that that happens, right? That staff bot should be losing 20-0, you know, but everybody else should be within like 15-5. You know, like that kind of thing, right?
So, not exactly. It has to be different than 15-5 because they use two major minor, but no, just kidding.
Well, yeah. I mean that range, like, right? Like is what I'm saying. It's like there should be a bell curve, basically. But yeah. Yep. But
no, bell curve is what you want for sure when you're in your results.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I always like missions where the primary and secondary almost feel like they're complete opposites.
Absolutely.
Because then it's like, yeah, the primary, if you crush it, you're probably going to win regardless, but secondary at least keeps people in the game. So, like, primary objective, secondary kill, it's going to be a good time because, you know, the person who can't hold objectives is still going to stay in the game with some killing. Sure, like, might have to get some lucky dice to really crank the win, but the person, to your point, is like, you want a more scaled game, could play a more defensive game, could bounce around the field a little bit more. Deny them that secondary and show that player skill to say, yeah, I can control points and to deny them from killing me at the same time to show that difference. Whereas most games, yeah, they're going to be tight. You're going to be brawling on the points. But some people, like, I don't know, maybe they're playing a Skaven reaction control list. It's going to just keep running around the opponent controlling everything and be like, yeah, he just outmaneuvered me. Nothing I can do about it, right?
Yeah.
So that's my just general philosophy when I look at missions.
You know, I think that's interesting because what you could have is you could have a primary and then a secondary, right, that are opposites. But then your twist could play that catch-up mechanic a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then if you could pull the levers on all three of those for four or five different missions, then all of a sudden you've got a pretty good, you know, pull the levers.
Oh, we're pulling all the levers.
Justin, I'm just remembering.
There's some weird levers, Justin.
Which episode it was, but there was, you were talking with Dan about it. Maybe the one that I was on even, but I remember just you saying that you did not like having Reaper. If you're going to have like a secondary, you didn't want to have something like Higher Ground on it, kind of mixed. And I fully disagreed. As soon as I heard it, I was like, I hate that so much. No, they're perfect synergy for each other because you're trying to make yourself do different things and there's counterplay within that kind of thing for it. And I do think they actually complement each other really well. Reaper is a phenomenal second layer added as a secondary to any objective or any you know, movement-based mission. Or
something like that. I love any type of. I know we're running out here, but like any type of like opposing secondary. Like, hey, if I kill you on a point, I get a point. It lets me claw back in. It's good to Justin's sliding scale though. It's going to keep games closer. So you're going to get less of those big differentials. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be tougher to get separation from the pack, which is like cool. But it's also like you have to think about like what type of game we want out of that, especially something like that's designed here to keep games close. It seems like play the secondary, play the twist. We want games to be as close as possible. So you have a really good player experience is going to not be great with like the intent of like that setup in mind, in my opinion, sure. Because you're going to keep too close. There's going to be someone that just gets lucky and blasts completely away. And then
you get a matchup that can really skew those
results. Or you get a matchup that makes that even more of a non-game. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, this kind of sucks. And like, granted, it's a tournament. There's always a level of like variability you can't control. And there's like,
but that's different. That's a feature, tournament. Not a bug though, right? That's a result of list building being a part of the game and a result of dice being a part of the game. You can't avoid that. It's inherently intentionally part of Warcry. And so, you just kind of, if you get, it sucks being on the losing side of those, but you just kind of go, I picked the wrong team. I got unlucky with a bad matchup, which every Warbin has a bad matchup on a bad mission. And then I just had bad dice. So be it, you know, you just got to smile and go on to your next game.
More than anything to me, it's like you should get a mission pack and not think about exactly how many models I should bring. I think more about what my composition should be for the missions overall.
Yeah. Not like how many, what is this? Yeah.
Good point. Absolutely. Well, thank you for the discussion today, guys. We got through a lot of content. This is maybe close to our longest Winning Warcry that we've had. It's very dense. It's maybe the densest Warcry episode that we've had, just because of the sheer brain power that's here. You know, so I appreciate all of you. Thank you, everyone who stuck with us for 2 hours and 21 minutes. You know, I know you're all probably painting. May all of your painting dreams come true. I hope you enjoy them. I hope that all your conversions are working out. And but thank you for sticking around. Shout, you know, give us a subscribe, give us a like, give us hit all the buttons. You know, that's all.
Not the one that looks like this though. Skip this button.
Exactly. Yeah, the this. One that goes like this.
Yeah, the up button. Do those ones. But and of course, check out the, you know, 3 Chaff, 1 Hero. Oh wait, I got that backwards. 3 Heroes.
3 Chaff, 1 Hero.
Trying to fight Justin?
Getting tough, Justin.
You don't want any of this.
You got four threats here. This is a Peter list of people.
We create a square that's only collectively 1,700 miles away from your home, Justin.
That's right. Exactly. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. And shout us up in the Discord. Come and join us. Come talk to us and tell us how much we are wrong about everything. I love hearing that. So, you know, we will talk to y'all later and see you at the tables. Good luck at Adepticon, everybody. Adios.